Tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. It is the 27th of May, 2026. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex Jones today for at least the first few hours. And then J.P. Sears, comedian extraordinaire, will take over for me in the second half of the show. We have a heck of a lot of stuff to talk about today, folks. We are going to be getting into, well, we're going to be sort of continuing our coverage of Europe. Yesterday, I spent a long time showing a bunch of videos from every country in Europe being absolutely swamped by Muslim migrants, and we're going to continue to talk about that as it continues to be a major issue, and it's happening here in America too, obviously. We'll be talking about crime here in America right now. The big crime stories are the takeovers, the so-called quote-unquote teen takeovers, where you just have hundreds of people gathering under overpasses or in malls or on beaches. And as far as I can tell, they're coming together to fight each other and get arrested. And that's basically what happens. And then they get let out and it all happens all over again. We played the video last week of the mayor of Chicago, whatever his name is, Johnson, right? Going, look, there was a teen takeover last Saturday. There was another one this Saturday. This is too much. You can't expect the police to do anything about this. Two events a week apart. I mean, it's overwhelming. We spent a long time dissecting that particular quote, but it's worse than that. It's significantly worse than that. I have so many crazy crime stories to talk about today, including illegal gangs coming into California and setting up hidden cameras to spy on people to know when they leave so they can rob their homes. I mean, like literal, like Viking raid gangs. I mean, you understand it's foreigners from another country coming to America specifically to loot and pillage, and then they escape back to their homeland. They're modern day Vikings. They're modern day raiders. It's just happening in a more sophisticated way with Wi-Fi blockers and security cameras and airplanes rather than long wooden ships, but the effect is the same. And yeah, this is basically just your average afternoon in major U.S. American cities. And I don't know why it's happening to the degree that it's happening now, but it really is all over America and all over the world. It's like as we enter into the summer months and as people start going to the beach and, you know, wanting to go do events at parks and things, it's like absolutely everywhere is just overrun with chaos and with violence and with crime. And it's not just that the mayors and the, you know, police chiefs are making excuses for law enforcement not being able to handle events, you know, in sequence. Oh my God, how can we handle this? And again, it's, you know, we're making fun of it. Like if it was the fire department going, you can't just spray water on fire and expect it to go away. There was a fire last week. There's another fire this week. What are we supposed to be doing here? Just spraying water on the fires? This is not a plan. This is not a good plan. It's like, no, this is how you solve the problem. You're not doing it enough. It's bad enough with mayors and law enforcement making excuses for why they just aren't stopping crime. I've got like five different examples today of states around the country just going out of their way to write laws to lower the punishment for violent crimes. Who is this helping? Why are they doing this? What is the argument? There isn't one. It's just the deconstruction of America. It's happening right in front of us. It's happening on purpose. We're going to break it all down today. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after a short message, and we'll hit the ground running with a bunch of videos.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop.
Stop.
And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Rex.
This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
Dog show short.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com. Follow us on X at AJN Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be joined by, J.P. Sears will be taking over for me about halfway through the show, so I'll be here with you for the first 2 hours, and then J.P. Sears takes over. We'll go to a skit of his. We got a lot of news to talk about. Election results around the country, including here in Texas. I think it's actually a positive result. I've always liked Ken Paxton. Paxton upsets John Cornyn, who has been a total rhino failure as long as I've been alive, basically. And he's Paxton is now going to face off against James Tallarico, who is maybe the worst person in American politics today. And I say that advisedly. He's got a lot of competition. He's got a lot of very strong competition in the worst people in the entire world that also happen to be Democrat politicians category. But I think he takes the cake because of his hypocrisy, because of the way in which he has cloaked himself in Christianity. In order to destroy Christianity, it's utterly, utterly despicable. And it's one of the things that, you know, while I more or less am on board with sort of Nick Fuentes' strategy of punishing the GOP, voting for the Democrats, understanding that if our vote is our only leverage, we can't keep voting for the people deliberately screwing us over repeatedly on everything. I totally get that. But then if I think about voting for Democrats, I picture James Tallarico. I see red. Things break. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to vote for him. So we're going to have to figure out how to thread this needle, walk this tightrope, I guess. But we'll get into some of the results of the contest yesterday. We'll get in a little bit to James Tallarico. James Tallarico, to me, is so like every single day I get up here. We'll do it today. We're going to talk about the most horrifying and upsetting things in the entire world. We're going to talk about gang rapes. We're going to talk about the eradication of cultures. We're going to talk about things that truly turn my stomach. Still in this landscape of misery, chaos, and madness, James Tallarico is so distasteful to me. Like, I can't even bring myself to cover him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he's like, Because the thing is, I'm on the radio. I'm supposed to present a coherent and logical argument without cursing constantly. But my only response to James Tallarico is to call him the F slur. It's the only thing that happens in my brain. There's no logically contending with the types of stuff that he says. You can only call him names. You know, it's like in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You all ever watch that? There's the Gale the snail in the beginning of the episode. They're like, will you throw salt at her? Like, what are you talking about? But by the end of this episode, they're like, she makes you throw salt. Like, it's like, I know it sounds like, you know, maybe I'm being hyperbolic or whatever, but no, literally you listen to James Tallarico and it's not like, well, that's an interesting point he made about, you know, Jesus wanting you to abort your baby. But here's a counterpoint. You just go, did that man just say Jesus wants you to abort his baby? I'm going to start yelling at him now. I'm going to start cursing at him and calling him names because there is no arguing with this type of stuff. It's just in your face, flagrant hijacking of a religion to push the exact polar opposite diametrically opposed values of that religion. It's the most despicable thing ever. And the blackpilling part of it, the really, like, thing that actually pisses me off about it is the people will fall for it, is that I know people will fall for it, and it's despicable because that's the world that we live in now. I mean, the thing is, democracy is obviously a lie and evil and not even a real thing. And if it was a real thing, everybody would hate it. It's not even really a question. Democracy is bad, and the founding fathers knew that. That's why they made us a republic and not a democracy. But no matter how much of your population votes, if they're moral and virtuous and intelligent and well-read and informed, then it's not really a problem. If, on the other hand, they're idiots. If, on the other hand, they don't know which way is up and cannot see the forest for the trees and can't see when people are just blatantly lying to their faces, you know, it's like there's – we got a really, really big problem. Yeah, Jesus never talks about abortion. The Bible is silent on abortion. Again, you know, instinct to go, well, if he never talked about abortion, you know, well, if this is the classic fallacy where, you know, because he didn't talk about it, it's assumed that, and it's like, why would we go through that? He's just a bad, evil dude that wants you to kill your baby. I don't think we need to argue about this. Does anybody legitimately think Jesus is in favor of abortion? Is that a position that literally anybody holds? I don't think it's true, but he is trying to drive people off the path in that way. But, like, take, for example, Keith Ellison and the Somali fraud. He was caught on tape. They have the recording. I played it on the show of him literally conspiring with these Somali fraudsters, saying that if you get your community to back me and vote for me, because they all vote in a block, and he says, if you back me, I can get the people investigating you off your back. I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it's not exactly subtle. It wasn't exactly, you know, a wink and a nod and a code word. He basically was like, I will get these people off your back. I will stop them from investigating you. I just need your votes. Literally selling out the democracy. So in a country of informed, intelligent, virtuous, moral people, that would be the death knell of his career, because everybody would recognize what an evil scumbag he is, that he's selling out their city, you know, for votes and handing over millions of dollars, billions of dollars, in fact, to a bunch of fraudsters, because he knows that if he covers up for them, they'll keep him in power. That's such an egregious violation of our sacred democracy that they constantly harp on about. And we'll cry crocodile tears at the thought of our sacred democracy coming under threat from whatever nonsense they've made up in the last couple of months. I don't know. What is it this time? Is it Russia? Is it, you know, who knows? What latest, again, just completely fabricated nonsense scandal that they claim to be a threat to democracy, and we must do whatever possible to save our sacred democracy. And then you've got people like Keith Ellison just literally selling out democracy right in front of everybody, and they don't care. They don't care. What do we do about this? What do you do with a population who literally does not care that they're being robbed for billions of dollars? That doesn't care that their elective representatives just sell them out to foreign pirates? But, like, they don't care. They really don't care. And I don't know how to make them care. I can't make them care. I can tell them about what's happening, but I can't make them care about it. And so what do we do with a population that doesn't care that they're getting screwed, or in fact is in favor of it because they're so brainwashed by whatever communist propaganda they're teaching in elementary schools these days, that they think it's a good thing that America is failing, even if it, like, physically disadvantages them? So that's sort of the major issue that we have to contend with in America. It's not even necessarily a top-down problem anymore. Our population has been so gutted of quality, of intelligence and capability and moral underpinnings and actually understanding the value and the purpose of our foundational, primordial American values. How do we deal with people who despise all of that stuff or just don't understand it and don't want to, and yet have a vote that's equal to yours. I think the solution is ending their ability to vote. Possibly. That might possibly be it, but how do we get to that point? I don't even know. So but again, I've got so many examples today of stories where in Colorado, in Virginia, all over the country, they're literally just passing laws to make crime legal. Why? Why would you do that? Who are you doing this for? Who is benefiting from this? The only people who could ever possibly benefit from some of these law changes are the criminals themselves. And again, the crime in this country is already out of control, and it's not a mystery as to why. It's because they voted in a bunch of people who promised to defund the police and DA and Soros prosecutors that just don't enforce the law. You know, Austin is like the best example of this. You can look at the charts and see that as soon as our DA Garza, who is a 100% Soros plant, got into office, every single category of crime skyrocketed to the roof and stays there. It wasn't a spike. It wasn't some event caused by COVID or Black Lives Matter, except that Black Lives Matter actually got, you know, legislation passed to defund the police, and so it is downstream from that. But whether it's murder, violent crime, property crime, I mean, the number of people breaking into storage units in Austin has doubled since Jose Garza got into office. And again, not like in a subtle way. If it's a bar graph, year over year, these crimes are static. And then he gets into office, it shoots up to about double, and then it remains that high. It's a direct correlation. It is 100% cause and effect. And yet we're acting like we can't figure this out, as if this is some sort of problem, a riddle we have to grapple with. It's probably the most frustrating thing about doing, you know, political commentary as I have for the last several years. None of this is complicated. None of this is sophisticated even. It's all very blatant. It's all right in your face. The answers are imminently available to anybody that thinks about it for 4 or 5 seconds. And yet we have to just repeat ourselves over and over and over again while the mainstream, you know, corporate society around us just steamrolls ahead towards absolute retardation and suicide. It's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating place to be. And of course, it only becomes like even more absurd and outrageous and beyond comprehension when you get to Europe, which is basically a, you know, everything bad that America's ever done, but on steroids, done to ourselves in terms of welcoming in millions upon millions of violent criminals, to put it politely, to put it very politely. And then there's the other types of crime. And then there's the other types of crime. Like, we got a couple different categories. I guess for me, the two main top, well, three. For, we got a lot of concerning types of crime. The first type of crime is the career criminal constantly being let go, constantly being given another chance, constantly ramping up their violence to the point where they murder somebody, at which point, if you're lucky, they will actually go to jail for a long time. That's sort of one category. It's the persistent threat that never gets dealt with and just is allowed to continually ruin the lives of dozens and dozens of innocent people. And nothing ever happens to them. That is a very big problem. Again, the solution is beyond simple. Then there's the mass violence. We saw this really start with the, you know, gangs of people who would invade stores in California and shoplift hundreds of thousands of dollars over and over, or the teen takeovers that we're experiencing across the country every single night, basically. The mob mass violence that is designed on purpose to overwhelm law enforcement and basically be there as a flash in the pan, violent attack that either robs a store or burns a car and then disperses before the police can get a, you know, sizable enough contingent to respond to it. Now, places like Fort Lauderdale, Florida, they just know this is going to happen. So they have the police pre-staged and they're able to like put a stop to it pretty quick. But places like New York and New Jersey and all these places. All right. So we've got the repeat, the persistent threat criminals. We've got the mob of teenagers criminals. That one admittedly is a little bit harder to deal with because there's so many of them and it's overwhelming. And again, we can get into it. I think we should bring back corporal punishment. I'm not even joking about that, but we don't even need to. We can just do what El Salvador did. Again, this is the absurd thing that we are struggling under the threat of violence. It's inflicted on us on purpose. And the solution, it's actually harder to not do this. It's harder to stop the police from doing this. You put people in office in the police uniform, give them a badge, give them a gun, give them instructions. They'll stop crime. They just will. It's what they're supposed to do, and they'll do it. And there's millions of people in America doing just that. You have to intervene to stop that. In normal functioning, you put a person as the police officer, you put a person as the prosecuting attorney, you put a person as a judge, and they'll just prosecute crime. They'll do it. It'll be a part of their definition of themselves. They will pride themselves on going after criminals. They will, incorporate that into their personality and see themselves as the law. They'll just do it. You have to actually intervene and stop it. All of this, everything that we're facing in America sort of falls into that category of without intervention, things would be fine. The powers that be have to actually intervene to stop us from doing normal things. Humanity, Americans in a normal, uncorrupted environment, they'll fight crime, they'll have kids, they'll teach their kids to be, smart and intelligent and thoughtful. You have to actually go in and stop them from enforcing the law. You have to go in and stop them from having kids. You have to load them down with barriers to these things for these things not to just occur sort of automatically. I got distracted because we're coming up on maybe the most important category of crime. So far, we've got persistent, undealt with violent criminals that just consistently get worse. We've got the mob violence. And then we've got the elite Israeli Jewish violence. Yeah, it is violent, actually. I was going to say crime instead, but it's, all sort of wrapped up in one. We've got another major example of that today. We had another major example of it yesterday when an attorney who should have been sent away for life for years-long rape of a minor was instead given 60 days and was out in 30. But that's not the story I'm talking about. I'm talking about Ori Solomon, and we covered it on the day that it broke. And actually, if the crew can go find that, I 100% called this. I mean, it was a joke, but it's one of the jokes that you make just knowing it's going to be true. When we first covered the bio lab in Las Vegas, we did a very big, story on it. We did a lot of coverage of it and broke down exactly who this guy was, how he got caught, how he'd been. I mean, the story is insane. And it's China and it's Israel working together hand in hand. There's this guy, I believe it was I'll read the story. I don't want to go off memory, but we covered it extensively. And of course I made the joke, here's this guy, he's been arrested, he was running a bio lab, he was caught running a different bio lab elsewhere in California. Previous to that, he was running a bio lab in Canada and basically, was supposed to be arrested there, but fled the country, fled to America, set up these other bio labs. And he got caught and arrested. So obviously he's going to be returning to Israel shortly, right? Like it's not even really a question. Because we just had the example of Tom Alexandrovich. Now his was even of particular interest because Tom Alexandrovich was the Israeli cybersecurity expert who was caught in Las Vegas in a pedophile sting trying to meet up with underage sex workers and then was let out by a judge in Las Vegas that was born in Israel. And he was allowed to flee. Basically, they, didn't keep him in custody. They allowed him to, have bail before his hearing, and he just never showed up for the hearing, just went back to Israel. Now, Tom Alexandrovich was particularly of note because he's actually very high up in the Israeli cybersecurity network and was actually the main guy who was the liaison between foreign countries and Israel as they set up their global cybersecurity panopticon where the Five Eyes, it's called the Cyberdome. I believe it's called Cyberdome. digital dome. I think it's called Cyberdome, right? Like the Iron Dome, but it's a Cyberdome. And basically they're like, we can protect Germany and America and all the Five Eyes countries as well, which just means that all of these countries are having their cybersecurity managed by a foreign nation that isn't exactly their friends. So that was Tom Alexandrovich. He was the one that was responsible for going to Germany and going to America and helping them to sort of, you know, matriculate into the Israeli cybersecurity digital panopticon slave world. So he, of course, was too high profile to be allowed to be punished for his crimes or held to account for his attempt to meet an underage girl. Ori Solomon, you know, may be that level of guy. He may not be. Regardless, it's kind of sad that you can predict stuff like this, you know, a year out. When you go, oh, it's an Israeli guy committing a horrible crime, possibly terrorism on American soil. He'll be back in Israel in no time. It just, they don't get punished. So while there's a lot of attention on the teen mobs, there's a lot of attention on the, you know, 40 plus convicted criminal going out and murdering somebody again, let's not forget the high level elite, you know, pedophile, terrorist, Israeli crime ring on top of all of it that also got us into the war in Iran. So we got a lot of crime to deal with, I guess. Long story short, we have so much crime to deal with, it's overwhelming. And we can go now quickly to clip 34. This is how bad it's getting in American cities. See, in a community in Seattle, they're having to erect barriers to keep out the criminals. Let's watch.
We just saw a Honda Element drive around here, so we got to put a stump over there, I think.
You can't just illegally block the road because...
Another conflict divides North Seattle's Greenwood neighborhood.
It's either this or bullets in my neighbor's houses.
Not gunfire, but how far residents are going to stop it.
Our neighbors put these up in self-defense.
The risk of emergency services not being able to get through here is greater than the good that they think that they're doing from putting up this.
Makeshift barricades now block three streets off Aurora Avenue, and they're building frustration.
And I just don't think that this is the right fix.
It comes after residents like Kate and Peter say they've documented at least eight shootings in about the past month within roughly 10 blocks of their homes.
We celebrate when there's not a shooting.
Until that evil is taken care of, we got to deal with this.
Seattle requires permits to block or place structures in public streets. Unauthorized obstructions can lead to fines or removal orders. Kate and Peter say they were built over the weekend and say they don't know whether a permit was approved.
You can't just move these makeshift barricades out of the way. And you can see here they're made of dirt, gravel, chunks of concrete, and even logs.
But doing it yourself, I don't think is right.
Some say it goes too far.
It's not a good way to protest. It doesn't solve anything.
It's not a fix for sure. It's a Band-Aid. This is Tylenol for stage 4 cancer.
Conflicts between neighbors ended in
understanding. That's a great way to put it. Tylenol for stage 4 cancer. They're like, this isn't the right way to protest. It's not a protest. It's self-protection. These people literally think that they should be allowed to defund the police, send criminals into your neighborhood, and that it's wrong for you to defend yourself. It's wrong for you to stop them from doing it when the government has taken a monopoly on physical violence and refuses to help. And you're supposed to be a victim. Yeah, I don't think so.
Take some formulas like Ultimate Life Force and take the two top-selling best formulas for spike protein detox and then just combine them. Well, it's a horse pill. So good for you, not just for spike protein. This is proprietary too, right here. And our iodine's proprietary. Everybody else says they have atomic iodine. No, they don't. We've looked into it. Only one place in the U.S. makes it. We had to get them to do it 12 years ago. So, anyways, you want it, you got it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I salute you. Thank you. Whatever you do, share those live feeds right now.
Just heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee, and it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones Was Right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think, was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com.
alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. You can always find us at alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We've actually extended the BOGO sale. BOGO Sups, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really a lot of, really all of our products are life-changing. But iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and, you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe, you know, you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. And you may very well realize that you're not supposed to be, you're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. And we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3 trifecta iodine and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Which, you know, how often do you get a honest to goodness buy one, get one free sale on products that sell out at full price? But hey, whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. It's all free to air and yours to spread. So that's the easiest way. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us. Again, we're talking about crime. We just saw the video of the Seattle neighborhood. The story is at alexjoneslive.com. Seattle neighborhood installs road barricades in response to rising crime. A Seattle, Washington community responded to a violent crime wave by installing large makeshift barricades blocking criminals from driving through their neighborhood. It's the Aurora Avenue neighborhood. They said they were left with no choice after a spate of gunfire incidents where bullets have hit cars and homes as violence and crime from the inner city pours into residential areas. Photos show large metal planter boxes erected in the middle of the road blocking traffic from traveling through their neighborhood. Previous barriers were put up were apparently vandalized, prompting neighbors to fortify the latest barriers with stronger reinforcements, adding a message that states no gunfire, according to Fox 13 Seattle. Neighbors say out of control prostitution is a major reason for the violence. We have nightly prostitution. We have gun violence that's coming along with it, one resident told Fox 13, adding that a revolving door of pimps and johns regularly circles the neighborhood. And normal law-abiding people don't have to put up with this. They don't have to live with this. They don't have to be subject to this. And this really is the thing happening in America right now. The justice system is actually counterproductive in terms of, like, it's not just not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's doing the opposite. It's basically stopping people from just solving problems themselves. Because we all understand, and more or less as part of our, you know, de facto societal construct, you know, contract that we have, unspoken, unsigned contract that we apparently all have to abide by. We have to abide by it. People in power apparently don't. It's, you know, we're supposed to understand, okay, we need a police force. We need people to do justice for us. Not because we're incapable of doing it, but because it's the best possible system to operate a society by. The other option is vengeance, is vendetta, is the cycle of violence continuing unabated until everything is destroyed. So we recognize, tell you what, I'm not going to go out and torture and kill the person that did me wrong. I'm going to put it to the society. We all understand it's better that way when it works, when it actually achieves justice. But if all it does is put the guy through a, you know, 24-hour rent cycle and just release him out on the street, it's actually counterproductive. It's actually worse than just not existing. This is the classic phrase, anarcho-tyranny. The anarchy comes from the releasing of criminals into your community, the failure of the police to uphold their end of the societal bargain. But the tyranny comes when you try to stop it. If you try to step in, if you try to defend yourself, you bet your ass they will haul you away. It's what we're talking about with the ad that's running quite a bit about the guy getting his arm chopped off with a samurai sword. If there was anarchy, a dude running around with a samurai sword threatening people would just be put down like a rabid dog, and it wouldn't be an issue. Wouldn't be a problem. Wouldn't be a threat to anybody. But in the current societal construct, some guy's running around with a sword and you shoot him dead before he chops your arm off. Well, you're going to be on the hook for, you know, first degree murder, and maybe you'll get off with it. Maybe it is self-defense. The man had a sword after all, but, you know, it's a coin flip. It's a risk. It's a roll of the dice whether, you know, that self-defense counts or not. And even if you get away with it at the end of it, even if you're, you know, declared not guilty, you still have to spend all of that time, and you still have to, you probably lose your job and or lose all your customers and spend months in prison and all of your money and all of your privacy being destroyed because you had to defend yourself. It's the worst of all worlds, I guess, in a phrase. It's the worst of everything. We have all of the chaos and misery and strife and crime from anarchy and all of the, you know, persistent surveillance, control, and manipulation from tyranny. And we benefit nothing by it, which, again, is one of the strange things, because typically throughout history, tyranny came with a trade-off. The tyrants justified their tyranny by providing safety to their own people, or at least the illusion of safety, if nothing else, right? It's a classic trade-off. Hey, things are chaotic. Things are insane. It's because of freedom. Get rid of your freedom. Give power to me. Make me an authoritarian, and I will crush the criminals. I will defend our people. I'll make us safe. That's usually the trade-off with tyranny. We don't even get that. We don't even get that. It might be, you know, it's worth an argument. Maybe not worth a try. It's hard to get out of tyranny once you're in it. But like, okay, we have all of the tyranny of a authoritarian regime. It just gives us nothing and serves us nothing. It's like the same way that we have an empire. We have an empire. We just don't benefit from it. The whole idea behind empire is that you're supposed to be going out to these far-flung lands and bringing goods and bringing people and bringing wealth in. We are an empire that is being ripped apart by our protectorates. We are being drained of our prosperity and our everything by the very empire that ostensibly should be feeding back. Everything's backwards and inverted. Do you understand what I'm saying? That like we literally in every possible place you can look have the worst possible option and none of the benefits that would even typically come along with the bad option. Sucks. I think it all just sucks. And it sucks that in America, law-abiding people can't expect or depend on the police to defend them because they've legalized prostitution, legalized drug dealing, and refused to get involved. Again, here in Austin, and I don't know why, as soon as I start talking about Austin, everybody tunes out. I get it, but I live here, and we've witnessed in real time as this has taken place. And it's really, you know, one of the things that's really frustrating about it, about all of this, not just Austin, but all over the country, is like, okay, I can understand how you'd be Democrat on certain topics if you didn't have an in-depth understanding of, like, second-order effects. Then sure, believe that we just need a social security net. People shouldn't go hungry in America. We just, and then it's just like $90 billion to Somalians so they can send it to al-Shabaab, you know. It's all ridiculous. Where was I going with this? No, the absurd thing is, they're like, okay, I can understand how, like, maybe you like welfare, maybe you like whatever else. Or things that just don't really affect you. Like, you can have whatever, opinion you want on the war in Iran, except for, like, rising gas prices, or if you're a soldier over there. Like, you know, it's not really affecting you directly. It's more of a metaphysical, you know, interaction we have with it. Relationship we have with topics like that. When it comes to crime, crime affects everybody, and it affects poorer, you know, less wealthy people first and foremost. So, like, this is what I don't understand. Again, I can understand how you could be a socialist or a Democrat on certain topics. You're dumb and they sound nice and you haven't thought about it very much. Fine. But crime. Everybody is affected by crime. Even if you're not the one subjected to the criminality, you're certainly paying for it down the road. And it's only a matter of time. You will be subject to it. You will be, I mean, you'll have a family member murdered. You'll have a friend murdered. You'll have your house broken into and your sense of safety shattered. It will come to you at a certain point. And so this is the thing that I really can't understand. Because I can understand how people would make tyrannical or absurd decisions on the basis of self-protection, right? Even with the insanity that Israel gets up to at a certain point, you know, or for certain things, it's like, well, they're trying to protect themselves. At least the motivation makes sense. It's tangible. And, you know, even if it's wonky, it's like, okay, they're trying to protect themselves. That's the justification for the path they've chosen. Why are we not trying to even protect ourselves? What are we doing here? and I've used the metaphor of dodo birds before, and I think that's in a lot of ways the answer. We have been evolutionarily discredited. We have been deliberately bred like, you know, domesticated animals to no longer be able to respond effectively or at all in some cases to predators. We've lost that ability. For those who don't know, I've covered this on the War Room, but just quickly, right? And everybody knows the story of the dodo birds and everybody knows they're extinct, right? And that when people arrived on the Canary Islands and saw the dodo birds, they had gone millions of years without a predator and they no longer knew how to even recognize a threat. And so you could walk up to a bunch of dodo birds sitting on nests of eggs. You could pluck them up by the neck, wring their neck, take their eggs, and all the other dodo birds would just watch you do it. And you could walk up to the next one, it would watch you walk up, watch you reach out, watch you grab its neck, and it would die. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't have a response. They didn't understand what was happening. It had been bred out of them. That's sort of where America's at. And I've seen video after video after video that it's literally that exact thing happening of like people standing there while next to them, a person is being like savagely attacked and they're just like, what? What's happening? Like, what is this? What's going on? It's like a dodo bird sitting there going, oh, that really big hairless bird is treating me roughly. What does this mean? Right before the lights go out. It's like, that's what it means. It means you're slated for extinction. And that's basically where we're at. And when it comes to crime, I cannot understand it because it's not theoretical. It's not something to debate. It's like you either have law enforcement or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to suffer from it at a certain point. And yet the people that we saw in the video in Seattle saying, how dare you erect a barricade? How dare you defend yourself? Half of Americans say fun in their lives has disappeared. Of course it has. We've got, you know, stories about that too. And it's deliberate. The thing you have to understand about literally all of this is it's deliberate. To be a conspiracy theorist, all you have to recognize is that things don't just happen. Okay. These criminals didn't just happen to be released. They didn't just happen to be that millions of people flooded into Europe. There are deliberate attacks against our culture, our society, our way of life, everything. And all of these things are various facets of that singular attack against us. And we have to recognize that attack in order to combat it. So it's almost worse than the dodo birds. The dodo birds at least had an excuse. They at least were incapable of understanding what was going on. We can understand it. We choose not to, or we choose to believe liars. And it's despicable. I've got so many examples of this. I don't even know where to start. Let's go to, I guess we'll start at the top. Clip number one here. A man who was arrested 14 previous times with over 40 plus charges killed an 18-year-old in yet another of our quotidian examples where every single day, it seems, yet another criminal with yet another mile-long rap sheet is let out yet again to kill, maim, murder, rape, or otherwise disadvantage an innocent person, which, of course, it's never just an innocent person. It's a family. It's a Thanksgiving dinner with an empty chair. It's a Christmas with unclaimed presents under the tree. We cannot lose sight of the human tragedy and the sheer scale that we're currently experiencing. Let's go to clip number one now.
A deadly hit and run that killed a young Mormon missionary in Charlotte has now pleaded guilty.
Aleki Langi was killed after a man driving along Beatty's Ford Road lost control and veered onto the sidewalk. Langi was from Utah, but on temporary assignment here in Charlotte.
The driver, identified as Tyjon Carney, left the scene but was arrested thereafter. New court documents show Carney pleaded guilty to several charges. Those include involuntary manslaughter, felony hit and run, and child abuse. A judge sentenced him to just under 4 years in prison.
So I believe that 4 years in prison is for the killing. So he killed an 18-year-old after 40 other convicted crimes, and he'll only spend 4 years in prison. So set your clocks, 2032. I guarantee you we'll be reporting on yet another dead person at his hands. It's sort of a pattern that it takes. Yeah, I mean, you understand nothing of our system works correctly, even in the slightest. What do you think is going to happen in the intervening 4 years? Is he going to become a model citizen, or is he going to be put in a rape cage for 4 years and come out just angrier and more disadvantaged? And every single time, well, not every single time, but like the overwhelming instances of these types of events, if you go back and look at his rap sheet, it's like an upward trending graph. It's, you know, small time theft, and then it's robbery, and then it's armed robbery, and then the armed robbery goes wrong, and it's attempted murder, and then it's murder, and then it always ramps up and up and up, because they learn to deal with the justice system, and they learn not to fear it, and so they respond to it. And again, people act like you can change the law and will have no effect on the crime. The criminals know the law. The criminals change their behavior to comport with the law. And across the entire country, the governments, state governments all over the place are changing laws to limit punishment for certain crimes or limit punishment of crimes committed by certain people. In Maryland, they wanted to no longer charge juveniles with gun crimes. So what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Do you think all the juveniles that would have been convicted of gun crime were instead spared and went on to become doctors? Or did the gangs start assigning their violent crimes to children? What do you think? You don't have to wonder. It's already happened over and over in this country. Again, this is yet another little piece of the absurdity that we do these things. Somebody gets a clever idea. Somebody gets a novel new concept that they want to try out. They go, You know, we've tried sending kids to prison for committing crimes. What if we tried not sending them to prison for committing crimes? What if we tried to fight the school to prison program by no longer giving children criminal records? This happened in Parkland, Florida. It was a direct, contributing cause to the massacre in Parkland, because if the shooter had been punished for the crimes he'd committed, he would have never been able to carry out his crime. But they changed the law. And the consequence of changing that law was the criminals learned that you don't get charged if you're a minor, so they let the minors commit all the crimes. So the minors would commit the crimes. Even if they got caught, it didn't matter, because they'd be let out again. So they learned to comport themselves with the law and continue their criminal activity with the new rule set. And again, we're showing all these videos of all these random, insane crimes from people that never should be anywhere near us, let alone within stabbing distance. And, some of them are from America. Some of them are from Europe. Some of them are from Australia. It's funny that you can't really tell, huh? It's funny that it's the same thing happening in every single one of these countries at exactly the same time. And that in every single one of these countries, the exact same inexplicable mental contagion has infected the power structures in every single place around the world. Do you think it's a coincidence? Or do you think it's a plot? Or do you think it's a plan? Or do you think it's an attack on us and our humanity and our way of life and our society? It's not that complicated. If you want to control a society, you first plunge it into chaos. It's simple. If people are safe, if things are peaceful, if they're prosperous, then what is the need for a revolution? What is the need for a dramatic change in political construct? In order to overthrow an organization, you first have to demonstrate that that organization is incapable of wielding power effectively. So you bring in the criminals, you allow the crime to flourish, you point at all the crime flourishing, all the suffering as a consequence of the crime flourishing, you point at the poverty brought about by the scams that are carried out by your government in cooperation with the NGOs and the migrants that they bring over. You bring a nation to its knees, you cause the chaos and misery and strife, and then you point at it and go, see, this is why we need communism. See, this is why we need socialism. See, it's the inequality that's causing all of this, even though inequality is directly correlated to all of these policies that they've been implementing. And I don't know how to explain, what a giant feedback loop that we're in right now and how easy it is to extricate ourselves from it. You have to recognize it first. You have to see it first. Yeah, there you go. There's the dodo birds dancing in the background. The dodo birds just continue to dance. You don't know how to deal with the reality of the tigers eating them. Yeah. I know. It's example after example. And it's all over Europe. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And it's happening, you know, to a, I guess you could say industrial degree in places like Ireland and Ukraine, where in Ukraine, they are kidnapping people off the streets to send them to die in the front lines for a ridiculous and long lost war against Russia, while simultaneously bringing in hundreds of thousands of Indians and Africans to replace their dwindling population. And they're doing this like holistically, comprehensively, the entire society, the entire Ukrainian population is being deprived of men of draft age. And they're being replaced directly by foreigners. And you've got Ukrainians driving around going, everyone I know has been sent to the front line. And here's a field full of 100 Indians playing cricket in the middle of this war. You know, other people are talking about Russia using Africans to actually fight their war. I don't know which is worse. I genuinely don't know which is the more moral option. Is it more moral to recruit fighters for your national army from Africa so that your men don't have to go and die on the front line? Or is it worse to mobilize your men, mobilize your civilians into the front line and then replace those civilians with foreigners? I think the Ukraine version is actually the less moral one. I think it'd be more moral just to hire mercenaries from Africa to fight your wars for you. Right? I mean, am I crazy here? So this is just how utterly insane everything and everybody is. When we get back, I'm going to return to the topic of crime, and in particular, the feedback loop that we're in that sort of straddles everything, including socialism and communism, and how people are being deliberately driven towards those tyrannical political organizations by the people who are making us less safe and selling out our country on purpose. We'll get into it. Stay with us.
I knew black rolling.
Tonight at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to AlexJonesLive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing, and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at AlexJonesLive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
saw your mean pride.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. J.P. Sears will be taking over for me at the end of this hour. Very excited to see him take the reins. You know, it still hasn't quite sunk in. Like, I don't know, this is kind of hard to explain. Maybe not. Like, I'm lying in bed last night. I'm trying to go to sleep early because I know I got to wake up and come to the Alex Jones Show. Can't sleep in like I normally do on War Room days. And I still picture going into the old studio. I still picture, I'm like, all right, I'm going to host the Alex Show. I'm going to come in, sit behind the big desk. It's going to be real massive. It's like, oh, no, wait. No. We're in the other studio now. It's like, still hasn't sunk in all the way yet. Like, I still think of the old studio. I still occasionally accidentally turn towards the old studio when I'm coming into the office and I have to, oh, shoot. Right. I got to go to the other place now. So we're still like working through the kinks and it still seems, you know, fresh and new. We got to get used to it. And you got to acclimate yourself to this. So in the same way that I have to remind myself, oh, right, we're going to the new studio, not the old studio, you got to go to alexjoneslive.com instead of InfoWarsLive.com, or instead of InfoWars.com. You got to go to alexjoneslive.com. You got to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to follow at AJN Live on X. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Follow Alex at Real Alex Jones. Tell your friends. Let them know. Spread the word. And if you do, you know, post it. We're going to get, you know, a lot of stickers and stuff like that. So eventually, you know, it'll be easier for you to do it. And we used to, you know, have people doing that a lot more. And I know the name InfoWars is just, it just will never be topped. It was just the best name ever devised for our organization. And it still is the core of our purpose, the information war. But I'm excited to see, you know, the Alex Jones Store stickers everywhere or AlexJonesLive.com stickers everywhere in the same way that I still see old, you know, Into the Fed stickers or InfoWars stickers on light poles around Austin. Please spread the word and let people know because we are still in this transition mode and we still need your help to get over the hump and really achieve our goals and manifest our destiny. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I guess we'll stick with crime here for a little bit because that is basically the main thing happening all around the country continuously and forever. Let's go to clip number 18 here. This is what I was talking about earlier. Governor Wes Moore of Maryland has signed new legislation banning police from charging juveniles as adults for gun possession. Let's watch.
God knows if the gun was fake or real.
Juvenile crime has alarmed many across Maryland. This is video WJZ obtained earlier this month of a convenience store robbery in Baltimore with suspects as young as 14. But advocates for charging reform say the state treats young offenders too harshly and have been fighting for more than a decade to stop automatic adult charges for certain crimes, including many handgun offenses and serious assaults. They finally won a victory with the governor signing the Youth Charging Reform Act.
Here in Maryland, we charge more children as adults than in every other state other than Alabama. This bill will change that. It keeps cases in the right court from the start, which actually, and by the data, makes us safer.
Numbers WJZ Investigates obtained reveal last year 303 youth were charged as adults for gun crimes, 204 with first degree assault. Only 58 of those weapons charges stayed in adult court, along with only 38 of the first degree assault charges.
You need to give people an opportunity. You need to give them second chances.
Automatic charging is now not a thing the following offenses: possession, sale, or transfer of regulated firearms, use of a firearm during a drug crime, use of a firearm with a felony drug conviction, first-degree assault, wearing, carrying, or transporting a handgun.
The law also keeps juveniles out of adult prisons with rare exceptions. But many prosecutors, including Baltimore City State's Attorney Ivan Bates, say the charging reform is misguided. Bates tells WJZ sending these violent offenders back to the juvenile system and giving them a timeout is not the answer to such egregiously violent crimes.
We should leave the laws the way they are.
Baltimore County State's Attorney Scott Schellenberger denounced the reforms last week at the WJZ banner debate.
This is just the Maryland version of similar laws being put into place in California, Colorado, Virginia, and everywhere the left gets power, they destroy safety.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. We'll be right back.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, folks, to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this 27th of May, 2026. Talking about crime in general and in specific. Clip number 27 here is a warning police are giving to homeowners in Southern California, as apparently we are incapable of dealing with the Viking raids, the Venezuelan Viking raids, where mobs of foreigners coming into our country to loot and plunder and then escaping back to their homelands. And the police's advice for homeowners is basically be more vigilant because they're not doing anything to stop it. Let's watch.
Police are urging homeowners to search around their yards, in the bushes, for hidden cameras placed there by burglars.
This is becoming a bigger problem daily as thieves go high-tech. Fox 11's Ed Laskos live in San Dimas, where one of those concealed surveillance devices was found hidden in the bushes. Ed.
Yeah, Laura, high tech big time as the neighborhood here is reeling after they find not one, but two of these cameras hidden deep in the bushes after a home break-in here just a couple of days ago. Let's get to it, to the video we go. The LA County Sheriff's Department out with these pictures of these cameras spotted and found by a gardener. Then the deputies move in, but not before that home is hit. One of the cameras across the street aimed at that target, the home they're going to hit. Another camera down the block showing their escape route, their getaway route, watching that. And luckily, though, in this case, the homeowners are inside. They're able to scare away the burglars. They run away so fast in broad daylight, they drop one of their hand radios, their walkie-talkies, using that to communicate with the driver of the getaway vehicle. And we know they used a jammer to shut down the Wi-Fi so there's no security video from all the security cameras. But it's the other cameras, the hidden cameras, two of them, that blended in the bushes. No one knew they were there.
And again, you know, they're using this high-tech stuff, Wi-Fi jammers, taking out, you know, security systems. Again, you know, you might think it's not a big deal. You might think, you know, immigration, defunding the police, DA, you know, Soros DA, prosecutors, this sort of stuff. You know, it won't affect you until it does. You can ignore the consequences until you can't. And one of these days, it's going to come to you, whether you like it or not. One day you're going to get a call. One day you're going to be wondering why it's taking whoever it is so long to get home. Your husband, your wife, your kids. And it's going to be because they were murdered randomly or run over in a police chase. I'm not saying this to fearmonger. I'm saying this because it's happened to us. You know, Jamie White is a victim. One of these gangs, one of these criminal teenage gangs that is just well known around Austin. They go around, they steal cars, they commit violent crimes, they get caught, they get arrested, they get let out, they do it again. And they do it and they do it and they do it until they kill somebody. And then maybe if you're lucky, they'll get caught and punished. But I don't understand why we have to wait till that point. I don't understand why we can't see the obvious consequences of our policies. And we should stop pursuing those policies. It just doesn't make any sense. It makes almost I don't know, more sense in Europe because it's so, I shouldn't say it makes sense. Like when I say it makes sense, none of this makes it, none of any of this ever makes any sense at all, but it's comprehensible. It's understandable in a place like Europe where they are really going out of their way to destroy their own people. The consequences are as insidious as you can possibly imagine. And we've been talking about this for a very long time. The armies of foreign men that are being imported specifically to destroy Europe. We talked about it sort of endlessly yesterday, but I know there's been even more discussion about this online today. And we go to clip 35 here. They've imported a foreign army to destroy the Irish. This is, again, it's like, it's happening in every Western country. It's an attack on white people. It's an attack on Christianity. It's primarily an attack on the things that came out of white people in Christianity, of European culture and our heritage and our history. Again, it's just exhausting having to, I mean, I've been explaining this the entire time I've been on InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network, and it just never changes. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it really does get exhausting. Let's go to clip 35 here. It's not that complicated. They want to control and enslave people. They want to rule without challenge. They understand the biggest primary challenge to their ability to create a one world, fully controlled, neo-feudal, technocratic panopticon surveillance grid government are these historical ties, these historical values we have. Things like freedom of speech, things like, you know, due process. These are the things that guarantee our freedom. They know that. They want to eliminate our freedom. So what do? They say, white people are evil, white people are bad, white people gave us the Constitution, therefore the Constitution's bad. It's really not that complicated. They're getting you to demonize the people and the cultures and the structures that protect you from tyrannical oppression. It's like, it's really not that complicated. They just have been tricking everybody, and I don't understand why people can't see through this. It's not exactly complicated. It's very simple. Is there literally any other reason to import in millions and millions and millions and millions of foreigners into Europe, especially when they immediately go on welfare? Because ostensibly they're brought in to boost the economy, to pay into the pensions. They all go on welfare. The pension system dries up. They raise the retirement age for people in Europe. So the people you're brought in to help you retire, you now have to not retire to pay for them to live in your country. It's all suicidal madness. It's all idiotic, and it's all on purpose, and it's all an attack. And it's, so once you understand it's an attack, you should be able to understand that you can't reason your way out of it. That's the point of calling this an attack, is to point out that it's not a mistake. It's not an accident. The consequences are not unintended, right? It's an attack. It's an attack. Be like people in a fort going, do you think the enemy knows that their cannonballs are hitting us? Their cannonballs are flying right at us. Somebody should tell them. It's basically how I feel when it's people like trying to argue or like debate against like pro-immigration people. It's like you're debating against somebody who just wants to kill you, who is just trying to destroy you. They're standing there sighting in the cannon, firing cannonballs to try to destroy the wall so they can come in and kill us all. Do you think they don't know that? You think you need to explain to them that it hurts you when they do? They know. They're attacking you. Once you put it in that mindset, none of this is complicated. None of it's confusing. None of it has to do with anything other than you defending yourself against an attack. It's not about human relations. It's not about human rights. It's not about, you know, mercy for the innocent or, you know, helping to rescue the downtrodden. It's literally, that's all just crap. It's just an attack against you. You just have to defend yourself. You just have to say no. You just have to send them home. You just have to shoot the criminals. You just have to protect yourself. And we have to stop talking. At a certain point, we have to stop talking about this. Let's go to clip 35 here. They're importing a foreign army to destroy the Irish.
Check this out. That's a picture of Ireland, the land we Irish know, love dearly. Well, what are all these dots? I'll tell you what they are. They're IPAS centers. Look at the locations. They're spread almost evenly all over the length and breadth of the land. And each of these IPAS centers houses between 50 to 60 fighting age young men. Some of them a lot more than that. Many of these men come from war-torn parts of the world and have military experience, and some of the worst kinds of military experience. This is what they will unleash on we the Irish, I believe, at some point. It looks to me as though they have imported an army and they have dispersed them all around us, so that when the time comes, they will make their play, and that will be the end of the Irish. Anyone who doesn't see what the plan is here is either willfully blind or just plain stupid.
He's not kidding. I mean, it's literally, they're eradicating the Irish. Like, this is going to be it. It's going to be it. We can go to clip 8 here, clip 9, clip 10. I mean, this is the consequence. Let's go to clip 8 first. Armies of imported foreign men are working for the government against Irish people. Sorry. Let's start with number 7 first.
This is a land grab. A land grab down in Laois. Yeah? Mount Melick. A land grab. Every young lad, every man in this country should be here. These foreigners all coming here, taking over our country. Foreigners taking over our country. Coming down from the north. Coming from Africa, God knows where. They're all foreigners, taking our country, yeah? Every one of you should be down here. Every young lad, every man in this country. You're coming back from Australia, America. They're going to take everything from us. Everything from us. If we don't stand up now and take back our country at this stage, we'll never get it back. See these? Look. They're coming out with IPAS centres. Out with IPAS centres, yeah? They're here to take over our country. Look at the guards and all. They are guards. They are everything. Yeah? Red rotten. You talked about 1906, the couch, smoking your joints and drinking your cans. So none of you here to do anything. Yeah? You want to be getting down here. And every young lad should be coming back from overseas and get these cunts out of our country. Every one of you should be gone out of our country. You will be driven out. We drove out the English. We drive ye fuckers out too. Every one of them has to be driven out of the country. Every IPAS centre needs to be emptied. Every one of them. We won't stop till you're all back where you've come from. Don't forget that. Everyone needs to be down here. The postcode, I put it up there. Everyone needs to be down here. This is a land grab. Yeah, there's hundreds of them down here in the bog. They're all over the bogs in the back. Look at them. They're taking your country from you, in front of you. You're paying for it in your taxes. You're paying for this. Everyone's paying for this. Look at them. I told you this 4 years ago. They're here to take over. They're in every town in Ireland. And to see how weak you are, you will not stand up. No matter what, you won't stand up. What more did it take? Can you not see it now? Listen to f***ing lip. Gerry Adams sold us out in 98. The Good Friday Agreement was to sell out of this country, shaking hands with the Tans and gave up the 6 counties. And look at what you have now. This is what you have in our country now. Look. That's what the Good Friday Agreement was all about. Yeah? They're here to take your country completely off you.
Okay. Thanks, Les.
Drop them in the airport now. You can drop them all in the airport. Bring them back. Go back to your own countries. Yeah, this is our country. You won't be taking it over. Because we'll stand up for our own country. We'll stand up for our own country. Go back to your own country now, lads. Come on. Yeah, relax. I won't relax. Yeah. Too many women and children been affected here in this country.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Come on, I'm standing on my own ground. You won't push me back.
We're not pushing you back.
Yeah, don't be trying to either.
No one has touched you.
Yeah. Go back to your own country now. Good lads. Bring them to the airport. Every one of them, bring them to the airport. Gerard's backing them up and getting them out of here. Yeah. Trying to take over our country. Won't happen. It won't happen. Great result down in the bog here in Mount Melick. Yeah. The invaders have been ran out of the place. Because the people showed up. Well done to everyone. Savage result. It's an absolute savage. Yeah. Very unfortunate. They can't thrive, as we know, with the buses above in Dublin. They ended up putting that yoke in there. And looking, a few of our patriots pulled them out. They broke the window there to pull a few of them out, I think. Anyways, well done everyone that showed up here. It's a massive result to stop these land grab. Yeah. It's going to be the future in this country. They're going to be grabbing anything, anyone that's behind, any farmer, anyone that's behind in their payments, they're going to go in and try and repossess their properties. And there's going to be an awful lot of this going on this year and in the future. So we need to stick together. We need to stop all this illegal land grabbing. The people turned up, and fair play to them. Doesn't the Irish stick together? We are an unbeatable force, and that's what we need. And we were here till 1-2 o'clock last night, stuck it out, and they got the message that they knew they were for going back to their hotels, back to the right pass centres. The government have gone to the left, totally to the left, and it's crazy, you know, woke leftist indoctrination of our children in schools, another problem.
All right, we can take it down now. But that's just a little example of one Irishman going to confront the literal armies of foreign invaders that the Irish government has brought in, has put in uniforms, has armed, and has instructed to go fight the Irish. And we've shown these videos, you know, constantly over the last couple of years. We had one last week where a farmer was trying to get to his own land and he was stopped by a bunch of Africans who didn't even speak his language but were wearing the high visibility vest, had been brought in by the Irish government. Again, folks, it's not complicated, and it's a pincer move in a lot of ways, because it is the migrants themselves that are doing this. They know what they're doing. They're doing it for reasons that are obvious. They want what we have. They don't care to actually build what we have, so they want to take it from us. Don't seem to understand that if you can't maintain it, if you can't build it, you can't maintain it. Giving it to you is the equivalent of destroying it. They don't get that. They don't care, or they don't actually value what we have in terms of the actual, you know, societal, like what they value is the physical reality of Europe. We played the video yesterday. I don't know if we brought it in today, but it's the African dude just being like, I'm here for my house. Give me house. Give me money. Like literally he's like, what, why would you like to come to Europe? And he's like, I want my house and my money. Just like, give it to me. And it's, you know, it's nice seeing, you know, people actually say what they are actually doing when they're migrating. But importantly, they would never have the ability, the knowledge, the resources to even get to Ireland, let alone impose themselves on the Irish in the way that they are. This is being done by the governments of these European nations who hate the people of these European nations and are using the migrants as a biological weapon against the natives of these nations. Now, I covered this before, and I couldn't actually find the original video, so I had to just go in and find the video I made about the video. But we can go to clip number 20, and I guess it's good to do this because this was all the way back in at least 2024. That we first covered this. So here's a report that I did in, I believe, the summer of 2024, 2 years ago, about how the Irish Garda, their equivalent of the FBI, their national police force, was going to Pakistan, filming commercials in Pashtun, recruiting Pakistanis to come be Garda soldiers to oppress the native Irish. Here's the report I did in 2024, clip number 20 here.
They want to directly import people for the sole purpose of serving as the Praetorian Guard to be wielded against the natives.
We really want to get the message out there amongst the Pakistan community, the Muslim community, and the broader community of the different nationalities that make up Ireland that we want to see represented in our national police force.
So yeah, that last part, that's what that was. That was an ad by the Irish government in Pakistan going, we want you to come join our national police force. And then they'll be wielded against the Irish people. Again, it's really not that complicated. It's really not a question. It's just happening. It's just whether you want to stop it or not. And again, they have made it abundantly clear, even here in America, voting is not going to work. They're just not going to let you do it. Okay, Brexit was about migration. The migrants have like quadrupled since that happened. We're like a week away from the EU migrant pact forcing migrants onto every EU country. You can't vote your way out of this. So what other options are there? You know, we covered this with the protest that happened in the Netherlands as well, right? Same thing happened there. It's the same thing happening everywhere because it's the same attack against everybody. What was the solution in the Netherlands? They burned down the center where the migrants were going to be housed. That worked. That worked. It worked. It's the only thing that's worked so far. So far, it doesn't matter. Like, I've seen so many videos of Irish villages that have like 500 people who have lived there since the Iron Age. And it's like all these little old Irish ladies going, we don't want a compound of 1,000 Arab men planted in our ancestral homeland. And they're like linking arms and trying to block the road. And the Irish Guard just comes in and battens them to the side, beats them and forces it onto them. It's not that complicated, folks. It's just a war. It's just an attack. And the people who they're bringing in know exactly what they're doing. And you've heard the story if you watch War Room Live or Moonbase, because my co-host on Moonbase, Lebanon John, he's a Lebanese Christian. And yet when he was in Europe, the Arabs that were there thought he was Arab and would say stuff to him that was blowing his mind, where they would go, you know, we've taken over 50% of this town. We've taken over 30% of this town. We're going to move over here. We're taking it all over, man. Thinking that he was on their side. And we'd play along and go, yeah, man, totally, we're doing it. Huh, where are we going next? And they'd tell him. They know. They know exactly what they're doing. They're sitting there telling each other, we're taking over. We're conquering. We have this much of this town. We're going to be the majority of this town soon. That's what they're saying to each other. They know exactly what they're doing. It's not complicated. It's just being facilitated and paid for by you because your government is in on it and is punishing you for enjoying freedom. We'll get into what happens if you actually try to stand up against this on the other side. Go to a quick commercial break, and then I'll be back for a short segment, and I'm going to toss to a video by JP Sears, so JP can come in, take this spot over, and carry y'all through the next 2 hours of The Alex Jones Show. In the meantime, go to thealexjonesstore.com. We're going to cover on the other side what happens if you try to speak up against this in Europe, in one of the most egregious attacks on free speech we've ever seen. And that's saying something, but just wait until you read the reasoning behind the conviction of a European activist.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got, like, copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate of supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks into their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Folks, the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. There's just chaos abounds, folks. Let's talk about the attacks against it, against our just everything. I mean, it really is overall. Like just during the break, I don't know. You guys have my computer screen. I just want to scroll through Twitter. Maybe it's just my algorithm. Maybe it's just trying to blackpill me, but. I mean, it's the same thing in literally every single white country in the world. I mean, it just goes on and on. AOC is wearing a hijab today for Eid. So I guess there's a couple things. It's Eid, which is one aspect of it. It's a Muslim holiday happening, but also it's like the beginning of summer. So people are going to the beaches and being like, where are all the white people? Why can't I see the sand? Warning from Apple to Canada on Bill C-22. As you know, this may be one of the last times we're permitted to discuss the consequences of this legislation publicly. That's because the bill's secrecy provisions, which forbid companies like Apple from even discussing the orders, right? So in every European white country, you've got the free speech attacks happening as well. Meanwhile, yesterday in Birmingham, blood-curdling screams, usual suspects stabbing people in car, resulting in hospitalizations. breaking, show your followers what Ireland has become. Muslim migrants caused mayhem in Dundalk County, Louth today. They beat each other to a pulp during Eid celebrations. This is the scene in Croke Park in Dublin today. According to Pakistani immigrant Umar al-Qadri, Irish identity is evolving as they take over the stadium to perform their prayer rituals. Official statistics say Britain is still 75% white, yet if you look at the beach videos coming out, you're lucky to see 10 to 20% white people. They're lying about the real numbers. Jewish Zionist assaulted and arrested a black man in a Jewish neighborhood in England. They will, of course, not be castigated and condemned for this. It's impossible for them to be racist. After tireless struggle by victims and finally a one-hour TV documentary this week, settlements south of Jerusalem admit their leaders have long created child pornography by filming when they gang rape kids in the community. No longer in denial, Gush Etzion admits to ritual abuse. President Trump says Iran was only 2 weeks away from obtaining a nuclear weapon. Like, am I the one who's going crazy? Are we not going completely insane? Of course, the next one down, Israel began carpet bombing Tyre, Lebanon. 150,000 people live there. Why is the world allowing this to happen? I mean, it just goes on and on. Alabama judge suspended after being accused of delaying cases so she could walk her dogs, as well as making racial remarks against a white woman. It's a black woman judge. We're always supposed to celebrate when black women become judges. Are we allowed to hold them to account on the same metric, I wonder? California just voted to pass AB 2624, a.k.a. the Stop Nick Shirley Act. The bill puts journalists at civil risk of investigating fraud and making it harder to expose fraud in immigration support services, including NGOs, nonprofits, and healthcare facilities that receive government funds. Second- and third-generation migrants help French people cool down on the streets of Paris during ongoing heat wave. Yeah, they're attacking cars and spraying people with water in their cars. This doesn't look like America, but it's Canal Street in New York City. Here, illegal foreigners sell stolen and counterfeit goods. If you're an American citizen and try to do the same thing, they get very territorial and make you leave. So, I mean, literally, it's just every single country where there's white people, it's just video after video after video of newly arrived immigrants just causing absolute chaos in uncountable hordes. And Israel just like murdering everybody and raping their children and bombing heavily populated civilian areas, while Donald Trump says Iran is 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon and California passes laws to stop investigative journalists from uncovering fraud. And you just have to wonder, what the hell? Is everyone retarded? Because what else explains this? It's insanity across the board. It's relentless. It's ubiquitous. It's endless. And it's on purpose. And it's by design. Meanwhile, white people can't even recognize they're under attack. White people, the dodo birds of the human race, are just sitting by and allowing it to happen and trusting the official numbers and trusting the official authorities who did this to them in the first place. It's despicable. Tom Roswell at Tom_Roswell on X, a great activist in the UK, says, last night I drove to Restore Britain conference in Devon, which was attended by about 50 people of all ages, despite not being widely publicized. One of the issues that concerned attendees was the mysterious appearance of exotic young men in newly built housing estates popping up all over Devon. Ironically, he says, I encountered one on my way home, an Indian man dressed entirely in black with no reflective clothing or torch or flashlight, was carrying a suitcase down the middle of a dark little country lane to nowhere. Even though there was a pavement, I warned him that he was at risk of being run over and asked what he was doing. He said he was headed for the new housing estate nearby and that he was employed by a solar farm. The lad hardly spoke English. How was he recruited? How did he get the housing? Something very fishy going on, and I hope Restore Britain can get to the bottom of it. Yeah, the fishy thing that's happening is that migration is being used as a bioweapon to eradicate the white race. Hello. Hello. It's your homelands. It's your homelands that are destroying. It's your homelands that are taking over, conquering, and saying they're conquering. Like, we have this post here from an Islamic guy, and he writes, our Islamic world is growing, and they have all the countries that are Muslim majority in green, including England, North Ireland, France, Germany, Netherlands, Sweden. Is he wrong, though? But is he wrong, though? I mean, in the UK, there are now city councils that no longer allow women to attend. It's like a big debate there because they're just imposing Sharia law. And remember, Sharia law, yes, it is enforced through a governmental system once they're the majority. And they tell you this. You know, you've got to go just listen to imams. Islam is a political system as much as it is a religion. And they'll tell you, they'll say, look, if you get elected, you know, in Islam, if you get elected promising not to implement Sharia law, then you're not really allowed to implement Sharia law. Because they have, and basically a leader is called an emir, and they basically say, if an emir gets elected, you know, on false pretenses, he's a false emir, he's lost his legitimacy. But if you get elected saying you're going to do Sharia law, then you can do it. So as long as they're the majority, and they can run somebody that says, I'm going to enforce Sharia law, in their religious construct, that's it. That's all you need. You vote for him, he says he's going to do Sharia law, he gets to do it. Now, before then, according to their religion, they're not allowed to enforce it top down, you know, by the authority if they didn't run on that promise. But that's not how it's enforced most of the time. But most of the time, the Sharia law restrictions are enforced personally by other people that know you. And if you've been to an Islamic country, you've probably experienced this. I experienced it in Turkey, where I was drinking a beer and the person I was sitting with was getting bitched at by other Muslims who we didn't even know. We're coming up to him and going, what the hell is this guy doing drinking a beer? Why are you sitting with the guy drinking a beer? That's how it's enforced. These like Muslim gangs walking around wearing the high visibility vests, harassing people and just ordering them to do things. We played a video yesterday on the War Room of an English girl filming as two Somali looking men in hoodies and, you know, bright yellow vests are just like, you need to leave. You need to leave the platform. She's just like, what? Who are you? And they're like, don't worry about who we are. You just need to leave. That's how Sharia law is enforced before they take total control. And folks, I'm about to hand off the baton here to J.P. Sears, the great J.P. Sears, comedian, skit maker, truth teller, rising star, I'd say. Although he's been rising for a while. It's one of those stars that rises endlessly, I suppose, because he was huge back during COVID, and he's just maintained that process. And you know, that's something. There's something really admirable about that. A lot of people get big, flame out, you know, get all controversial. J.P. Sears has just chugged along steadily and strongly. We're going to go to a skit of his now. He's going to come in and replace me. Kristan T. Harris will be hosting War Room today. I'll be back here tomorrow. I'll do the whole show tomorrow and Friday for Alex. I hope you join me then. I didn't get to a third of what I'm going to get to today. I'm going to hold it over for tomorrow. In the meantime, enjoy J.P. Sears, and I'll see you tomorrow. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. That's more accurate. There it is. To support everything that we do here, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, to let him know who sent you. And I'm going to drive the tank. One day I'm going to be the one driving the tank. Then we'll see. Here's J.P. Sears.
Here's what I've got for tomorrow's episode of Political Theater. Ceasefire talks begin again. Israel screws it up. We didn't know that was going to happen. Ceasefire talks end. Declare victory. War continues. Then we go and start pushing the hantavirus. Tweet Thomas Massie is a traitor. And then we tease the alien invasion angle. And I think that's pretty good for one day. I'm the head writer for Political Theater here in America.
No! I think we need to keep going hard on the theme of all we want is peace, and that's why we need this war.
No, you gotta understand, the viewers will feel more involved if they know they're paying taxes to pedophiles. Yeah, so where should we take it from here then?
Before I got the job writing for Political Theater, I was the lead writer for the WWE. And that was great experience for what I do here. Similar audiences. They both tune in to watch scripted fighting.
Right. Trump calls them low IQ and praises Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, I know they'll hate him for it. That's what we're doing. We're turning him heel. That's what we're doing here.
We're still going with he's straight.
The main difference when I was writing for the WWE, their audience knew that what they were watching was fake.
What do you mean you don't understand the alien angle?
We're doing COVID just with the aliens this time.
So full steam ahead on that.
Have you seen House of Cards? It was a pretty good show. So what we produce is like that, except a lot less realistic and a lot more believable. Okay, so we've got these guys killing kids and doing genocide, but we need to give them a reason to be doing that.
They're doing it because the Bible tells them to?
Yeah, I'll write that in.
Honestly, I don't know where we're going to take our whole Charlie Kirk assassination storyline.
I mean, we could have a lone gunman kill the lone gunman, like with JFK, but I don't know. Or we could do something like the lone gunman has a trans boyfriend and the head of the FBI shuts down the investigation into foreign involvement and is an alcoholic. Would leave people on a cliffhanger wondering, is he an alcoholic? Traditional dramatic storytelling has redemption as the payoff for the viewer. With political theater storytelling, the payoff for the viewer is punishment.
Ah, this grieving widow thing is just poorly written. Who's been writing this? Gil?
Gil! What the f*** is this?
Well, you don't have her grieving at all.
No, but you're revealing that too soon. We want people to feel surprised when they find that out. Yeah.
Yeah, right. All right, you can do better.
When we start a new storyline, we usually don't know where we're going with it. We just make it up as we go.
Would it play if we nominate the Secretary of War for the Nobel Peace Prize?
We have to write hours of content each day. And with that kind of workload, you just don't have time to think very far ahead.
Okay, so listen to this. It's a rough idea, but I'm trying to weave it all together. The hantavirus is coming, so we need a new ballroom. Because Thomas Massie has nukes, which means we can't release the Epstein files. So we need to blow Iran back to the Stone Age and collect all your privacy data because Israel is our greatest ally. What do you think? As a writer, the goal is to get the viewer to say to themselves, I think that what's going on in this storyline might actually kill me and my family. Then they'll keep watching. I like it. The government's advising hundreds of pastors about aliens in a secret meeting that everybody knows about. It's just the only thing I don't get. Why are we having pastors be the front lines with aliens capable of interdimensional travel? Like, why not, like, scientists and physicists? Oh, we did kill them all off. Yeah, no, so this is good.
I mean, if you want a good example of a man, Lindsey Graham. There's a guy right there. He's not even gay at all.
Yeah, that's great. What do you think of the Biden administration funding Ukraine?
Hated it. We should have been keeping that money in America.
What do you think about the Trump admin funding Israel?
Love it. I think as American Christians, we should also be Jewish.
What do you think about the FBI's narrative that JFK was killed by a lone gunman?
Not likely. You can't trust those guys.
What do you think about the FBI's narrative that Charlie Kirk was killed by a lone gunman?
Well, that's what happened. You heard the FBI's report.
Oh, they make me so mad. Can you believe all these idiot grifter conservatives out there betraying Trump? The woke Reich. That's what I call them. Because it's a pretty clever name.
You agree with everything Trump's doing?
Yeah. 100%. That's what my critical thinking leads me to believe. 100% agreement with everything Trump says.
Even when he changes his mind or betrays a campaign promise?
He's never done any of that. But you know who has changed? The woke right. Fucking roasted him again. The Tucker Carlsons, Alex Joneses, people on Twitter. These people supported Trump for years. Then all of a sudden they betray the guy. Like, what is up with that?
So as a Trump loyalist, you don't even think it's been you and Trump that's changed?
No, I haven't changed my stance on anything. I've stayed true to my values. Unlike these crazy nut jobs.
Right. What do you think about Trump's campaign promise of no new wars?
Loved it.
And what do you think about being in a new war with Iran?
Love it.
Do you know you're contradicting yourself?
No, I'm not. Trump promised no new wars. Wars. Plural. We're in a new war. Singular. He didn't start new wars. He started one new war. Idiot. Like, Trump didn't break any campaign promises.
You gotta be f***ing kidding me. Do you think it's okay that Trump just wants to move on from the Epstein files and not prosecute anyone?
Yeah, that's what's best for our country.
Have you always thought that?
Yeah.
Alright, what about when you wrote, number one priority is to arrest the Epstein criminals. Trump will do that. Kamala won't.
I don't think I ever wrote that.
It's on your Twitter.
I might have wrote that, but you're taking that out of context.
That's your whole tweet. It's the entire context.
No. Like, the context of the moment. Like, in different times, different words have different meanings. Words change with the times. It's evolution. Like, get with it. And, you know, those traitors like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, they're just trying to push this stuff because they want to backstab Trump. That's what they're doing.
So, you don't like them?
Not at all. They're despicable people.
on MTG's tweet from a year ago where she pledged to fight to get arrests made, you commented to her, "Thank you, MTG. These Epstein criminals need to be brought to justice. You're doing God's work and are a true patriot."
Well, did you know she's a traitor?
All right. What do you think when all the leftists were calling Elon and other conservatives Nazis?
But just psychopathic leftists.
They're just trying to smear the character of good people because they don't have the legs of truth to stand on in their own political positions. This is despicable.
I can see on Twitter that people like you and Mark Levin are repetitively calling other conservatives Nazis a lot.
That's because they're Nazis.
Like Tucker Carlson, he has an actual gas chamber at his house, from what I hear.
I'm pretty sure that's a sauna.
You want Jewish people to die.
I mean, could you find me a more unpopular guy than Tucker Carlson?
You say that Tucker's unpopular, but he's got the number one news podcast.
Oh, give me a break. You actually believe statistics.
Tucker's always been a fraud.
From this pic of Tucker campaigning for Trump, you said, "The great Tucker Carlson campaigning for Trump and America first. I love this guy."
Are you funded by Qatar? You seem like it. Tucker is. And I know that for a fact because Laura Loomer said he is. And she's mentally healthy. And I'm really starting to think you're a foreign agent. Maybe with the Soviet Union.
That's not a country anymore.
Well, it won't be a country for long with all the nukes Iran has.
All right. What do you think about the members of Congress getting rich off of insider trading?
Lock them all up. It is not right for them to personally get rich when they should be focusing on bettering the lives of Americans.
Since Trump took office, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's negotiating with Iran, is now a billionaire. Trump's sons have allegedly increased their net worth by 800%. And Trump's net worth went from $1.4 billion to $6.5 billion. What do you think about that?
Hey, the world's a casino nowadays. Don't hate the player.
Any final message to the former Trump supporters that have abandoned him?
Yeah. To those low IQ morons, I would just say, you guys are hypocrites, and the establishment has your best interest in mind. Just surrender to it. Oh, dude, look at this. I love what Trump's doing with Palantir. Heads up.
Do you do IQ tester?
Yep. That's what we do.
Okay, because I think I need one.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Why do you need one?
Well, I've had some people lately telling me I have a low IQ.
Ooh, shots fired. Gosh. Who's been telling you that?
Well, some people online have been telling me that, like the president. And even my dogs are looking at me a little bit condescendingly now.
Well, we'll find out. So with this IQ test, I'll just ask you a series of simple, really common sense questions, and you just give me your best answer.
I'm actually kind of a little bit nervous right now.
Oh, yeah, you should be, because if you turn out to be what some would call a low IQ nut job, then you're pretty much a lost cause.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, first question. Which word doesn't belong? Apple, banana, carrot, orange.
Is it carrot?
Very good, because it's not a fruit at all. It's clever. Next question. Who would be considered more of a traitor to their country? Person A, who receives $230 million from a foreign lobby, or person B, who receives $0 from a foreign lobby?
I mean, clearly person A.
Wrong.
Come on, that's gotta be correct.
Next. Hypothetical question. If a country has a major shipping waterway that you want to have open, and it's currently open, but they'll close it if you go to war, what would be a smart way to ensure that waterway stays open?
You don't go to war with them.
No, not even close. I mean, common sense would say go to war with that country and stay at war with that country as a way of putting pressure on them to reopen it after they've closed it because you went to war with them.
Are you playing with a full deck?
I don't play cards, but thanks for asking. Oh, and this is a good one. If you had the desire to take down an international pedophile ring, what would be the best way to follow through on that desire?
Well, you launch a full investigation using every means necessary, and then you prosecute those bastards the fullest extent of the law.
Wrong. No. You would launch an effort to prevent any investigations and prosecutions.
That can't be right.
Well, An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah. These questions are kind of weird.
Oh, I assure you, these are standardized IQ test questions, sir. Next question. Here's a scenario. You got a person, they work for America and America only. What country does that person work for?
America?
That's incorrect. They work for Iran. Next question. Who's more beautiful as a woman? France's first lady, or maybe man, or Candace Owens?
Candace Owens?
No.
Have you seen France's first lady?
I would totally do her. If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe. Any reasonable man would. Okay, how would you describe what America first means?
Putting America's interests first above any other foreign nation.
No, you're actually describing anti-Semitism. Yuck. Okay, last question. What year did we first land on the moon?
We've never been to the moon.
No, we've been to the moon. We go all the time. Well, your test is complete. I've never seen a score like this before.
What'd I get?
You got an IQ of 65.
Is that high?
No, that's a very low IQ.
My life is literally ruined. He was right.
Who was right?
Just don't worry about that now. My big question is, what am I going to do with my life now that I've learned that I am so stupid?
Well, just remember, you're also a nut job. But yeah, you're pretty screwed. Really, the only option I can give low IQ people such as yourself is to, like, go off and open a Somali daycare.
I am completely devastated. When I grow up, I want to take down the New World Order. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. Rally patriots worldwide! I am your chronicler! I am your sage, Alexander Everett Jones, and I declare war!
To the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and, you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve.
and we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3, trifecta iodine, and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously, the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the second half of the Alex Jones Show.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the
Everglades. Almost. We're back for the second half of the Alex Jones Show. Ladies and gentlemen, how's your America in 2026 going? Is it good? Is it just like the America our grandfathers remembered? Things might have changed a little bit. You know, we're still the red, white, and blue, just little bit less red and a lot more white and blue. Hey, my friends, first off, shout out to Harrison Smith. Did an excellent job with the first half of the Alex Jones Show. My name's JP Sears, and I am very grateful to be hosting right now the second half of the Alex Jones Show. Well, Alex is out of town. Do we know where Alex went? It wouldn't be funny if he did like an influencer trip to Israel. Just kissing the, I would imagine Alex would be holding hands with Lindsey Graham as he kisses the Wailing Wall for America. Cause we know Alex loves America. So I don't know. He's probably in, I think he's in Israel holding hands with Lindsey Graham. Like interlocked hands. We know Lindsey Graham he's a little bit gay. Not confirmed. There's a live shot of Alex. He just got out of a nightclub with Lindsey Graham. This is breaking news, everybody. But anyway, while Alex is gone, it is just a joy. It's an honor to be here with you on the Alex Jones Show. What Alex has laid out over the past, I guess a couple decades. It's just legendary. I don't know of a greater, freedom fighter, truth fighter, crusader of truth than Alex Jones. So it's just an absolute pleasure to be here with you. And I'm looking forward to sharing some very unqualified opinions, with you today on some of the top stories that have caught my interest. And I assure you, nobody is less educated, but more confident on geopolitics than myself. There's some news about Pam Bondi we're going to be getting to, and shocker, communist in New York, Mom Donnie has proudly announced they're going to be confiscating property as people cheer for that. We'll be taking a look at that, and I don't know if you've heard, there's a war in Iran. It was a necessary war. And there's an alleged peace deal. I'll be giving you a bit of an update on this Iran peace deal that is a surefire thing, based on what we're told. This peace deal is definitely going to happen. It might happen. It's probably going to happen. Might not happen. It's not going to happen. This peace deal, we're told, is definitely going to happen. So we'll give you some of the updates. And also, I'm very excited about this, ladies and gentlemen. You may have seen him with Harrison Smith, I think less than a month ago. Later on in the show, I'll be doing a little interview discussion with Danks, known as Dankster Intel on Twitter. This dude is a researcher. He's finding information that the public deserves to know. And specifically what I'll be talking with Dankster about is some of your favorite conservative influencers may have seemingly changed their tone in the past 6 months or so. It's like, why do you guys all, you made fun of Lindsey Graham for years and now you agree with Lindsey Graham on everything? Well, Dankster has uncovered, I think, information everybody should know about because people need to make informed decisions. And what I'll be discussing with him about is how he brings the receipts, how a lot of these conservative influencers, including the present day Charlie Kirk show, are Israeli propaganda outlets, ladies and gentlemen. There's a registered foreign agent of Israel at work with these people. Bring you those receipts with an interview with Danks a little bit later. And for now.
This Memorial Day, honor freedom and save big at the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, get an additional 25% off already discounted products. Limited time, limited supply. Take action now.
Introducing the Gates of Hell Parasite shirt. Inspired by the tick that turned barbecue lovers into cautious vegans overnight. Alpha Gal approved. Order now before the next helicopter drop.
Introducing the new 1776 wallet from the alexjonesstore.com. Now with enough room to hold receipts from groceries that somehow cost $500.
Don't wait any longer. Go to the website now. You'll be happy you did.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Does anybody really know the secret or the combination for this life and where to keep it?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. I don't know how you've been seeing the world. We're going to get into some of these leading stories that have caught my interest because I think truth is at play with all of them. But first, I've noticed something in the past. Man, it's just amplifying. I think it's the biggest issue of our times. It's really kind of swelled up over the past year. And then, pretty much when Trump did the old, there are no Epstein files. Well, there are Epstein files, but it's a hoax. And there are Epstein files, but we're just not going to release them. That really put on the map for me. Like, how much does Israel control our country? And what's all this AIPAC funding about? And something I've noticed, there's certainly a divide. And I'm like just stating the obvious here. There has certainly become a divide in the conservative movement where there's some people who seem to be loyal to a person above all else. It's almost like they worship that person. And of course, that would be Trump loyalists. And that's fine. Free country, your choice. And then there's another group of people who just care about being loyal to no one except the truth. And if people are in alignment with the truth, then they're aligned with that person, that politician, that official. And if those people fall out of alignment with truth, well, they're not loyal to that person anymore. So we have this interesting divide in the conservative movement in America, and Israel just seems to be the focal point where, you know, I can't count how many times online I've just been smeared like, well, you don't support the government of Israel. Well, you're an anti-Semite. It's like, no, like that's not it. Like I don't like Zionism. To me, it's the same way I don't like communism. Jewish people are some of my best friends, but there's just seemingly a very pervasive psyop. I think it's the biggest one out there right now, and it's the psyop on Israel. I'll get to a fun story about a proud Israeli citizen treating America like garbage here in just a second. But first, there's a psyop expert. I just want to share this real quick because I think we're living in a time where speaking truth as you see it, your best discernment of what truth is, having the courage to speak your truth, how you see the world, instead of being gaslit, falling for lies, hypocrisy, corruption, instead of pledging willful ignorance, speaking truth, I think, is more important than any other time in history that I've been alive anyway. Yet the intimidation factor has never been higher. I mean, people will treat you like you are just a vile human. If you're just like, dude, I think the Israel government's corrupt. By the way, I think my government's corrupt too. Drawing the distinction, yeah, I'm criticizing the corrupt government. And yeah, he literally has a corruption trial. He keeps pushing back and we can't call the killing of children, killing of children. So I just want to say, for anybody who feels intimidated, like, hey, people are going to smear me. I see it happen to people all the time when they're online and they're speaking for America, which means you kind of have to say, what's this Israel stuff about? I just want to say, man, the version of you on your deathbed, what would you regret? What would you be proud of? And I don't think any of us will ever wind up on our deathbed saying, you know what I am grateful for? I am grateful I did not have the courage to speak truth while I still had the right to speak truth. I think maybe the reverse would be true. The version of us on our deathbed, hopefully many years, who would feel more fulfilled in the course, the fork in the road where we would not have regret, instead we'd have fulfillment, would be, yeah, I had the courage to speak truth. By the way, we're not even asking ourselves to do anything courageous. We're not asking ourselves, like, pick up a weapon and fight for your country. Put yourself in harm's way. We're not even asking you to do that. I'm not being asked to do that. We're asking ourselves, I'm asking you, and I'm challenging myself to a greater degree, to simply have the little bit of courage it takes to let your words be aligned with how you actually see the world, and not let intimidation contort your words or even contort your thinking. I love to navigate life when there's a choice like, holy shoot, I just posted a video on kind of like what Zionism is. People are calling me an anti-Semite. It's getting censored from YouTube. There's a fork in the road, and we all have our version of this fork in the road. We can choose to cower down, be the person who lives on our knees, or we can choose to have the courage and do the version of ourselves who's doing the accounting, our life audit, many years from now, who looks back and says, that was a life well lived. I'm glad I made that choice to speak my mind at that fork in the road. I think that's more important now than ever, ladies and gentlemen. Last thing I'll say on Israel. It's our greatest ally, by the way. It's great. If we're obedient, we would just say Israel and the government of Israel and the politicians in our country that Israel either controls or has a freaking weird amount of influence over, they have never done anything wrong. Like, only great things. Nothing but God's chosen people over there, right? They bombed Lebanon and get us children. Wow. God's weird. With what I was going to say, and I will say, there's a PSYOP expert named Chase Hughes. He is phenomenal. He's a mind control expert. By the way, if this guy was evil, watch out. Luckily, Chase Hughes, he's a good guy. He did an excellent interview on the Sean Ryan show. I can't recommend that enough. If you look up Chase Hughes on the Sean Ryan show, it's phenomenal. You learned all about PSYOPs. An interesting thing about PSYOPs is you don't really know you're in one until you learn how to recognize you're in a PSYOP. Just like the old saying, you don't know I forget what the old saying is. That's how good it is. Oh, here it is. You can't get out of jail unless you know you're in one. And that's what a PSYOP is. It's a mind jail. So Chase Hughes talks about how there's three components that all PSYOPs operate in. Now, there's probably countless PSYOPs that are at work right now. PSYOPs layered on PSYOPs. Iran war, more global PSYOP than that, would be this Israel PSYOP. He's like, gosh, it's either like they're trying to take over America or America is trying to just let them occupy our government. So what's the deal? Well, if you learn the three main components of PSYOPs, I'm going to hit you with just the four dummies low IQ version, hashtag Alex Jones. I'll hit you with the three components, but please check out Chase Hughes that you can see on your screen right now. He's a brilliant man. I've had a chance to meet with him. He is just a good guy who is an expert at the mind. So there's always three components of PSYOPs. Number one is there is a persistent narrative. And think about this in terms of Israel. I'm not trying to pick on Israel. Well, I am. Actually, I kind of am. A persistent narrative. Do you see that with Israel? Our greatest ally. We have to do this. Number two is all PSYOPs involve a censorship component. Now, with Israel, it's growing more and more. We see state lawmakers introducing legislation, it's hate speech legislation. And we all know, hey, most people, civilized people, don't like hate speech. But you can't have free speech without hate speech. So on principle, damn it, you don't have to listen to it, but it has to be able to exist. But we also know when people get a little bit agenda-ridden, a little power-hungry rather than principled, they like to call speech that they don't like hate speech. So nonetheless, we're seeing that grow more and more. And the censorship component of the Israel PSYOP, as I see it, it's certainly not just at a centralized government level, even though that seems to be growing more and more. Like, hey, you start a business, sign this that says you won't boycott Israel. What? I can boycott America as an American company, but I can't boycott. Okay, that's interesting. Boycott, of course, would be an expression of actions, an expression of speech. But we're also seeing people who have fallen, in my opinion, fallen for the mass formation psychosis of this PSYOP online all the time. They are right now the principal censorship component of the Israel PSYOP or Zionist PSYOP, if want to probably be a little bit more accurate. Say something that's not super pro-Israel. It might be super factual, but not super pro-Israel. And you're just smeared all over the place. You're an anti-Semite. You work for Iran? So you think Muslim extremism is good? That's what you're actively supporting? No, you idiot. I didn't say that, but you're trying to censor me. I don't know if you know what you're doing, but you sure are doing it. And the third component of any PSYOP, we mentioned there's a consistent narrative. Holy Lord, it couldn't be more boringly consistent. There's a censorship component and there is a tribal component. In the tribal component, it preys on our biggest human fear, which is I won't belong. Because primally, like, hey, if we don't belong, our chances of survival kind of go down the toilet. So the tribalism with this PSYOP is essentially you're not going to be a part of polite society if you keep thinking that. So it's another intimidation tactic, preying on the biggest vulnerability of our instinctual primal mind, which is you're going to be cast away if you keep saying those words. So ladies and gentlemen, check out Chase Hughes, talks about PSYOPs. I think it's valuable to know because just like a jail, you can't get out of a PSYOP unless you know you're in one. So let's learn to recognize the PSYOPs we're in. Cause quite honestly, they suck. They suck to be in. You don't have to participate. It's all voluntary. Someone else is volunteering you. but you have to volunteer yourself once you know it to stay in or get the hell out. Which brings us to first story that caught my attention. There's in Las Vegas, do you like biolabs? Ladies and gentlemen, I am a huge fan of biolabs. I have studied Anthony Fauci's work, and I just think this is a good guy doing good things. Biolabs only have upside. I like me some biolabs. I want to start a biolab company myself. So there's an Israeli citizen named Ori Solomon. You may have seen this. Mario Nalfal reports it on Twitter. Israeli citizen Ori Solomon, 55 years old, who was arrested last year for running an illegal biolab in Las Vegas containing dangerous pathogens, including HIV. Thank you, Fauci, for, you know, helping with that one. Malaria. Thank you, Bill Gates. I know that's one of your favorites. Tuberculosis has had all the federal charges against him dismissed. He is now free to return to Israel. This was one of the wildest stories of the year. An unlicensed lab in a U.S. city handling serious biological agents. So reports are that the judge that said, like, oh, just a biolab and weapons charges. Do you want to go back to Israel? Like, we can just get you out of this. Apparently, reports are that judge was also an Israeli citizen. But nonetheless, what I like best about this story is this biolab was in Las Vegas. I think Las Vegas needs more biolabs. I'm not a fan of Vegas. In fact, I think biolabs in Vegas that leak would do that city a favor. Just improve it. America's moral character would probably go up astronomically. Because, like, you know, we got HIV, malaria, tuberculosis. Yeah, it's kind of child's play with diseases. None of them are, I guess, Magic Johnson's still running around. So I don't know if any of those are really going to end you. But what I like best about this story is he chose Vegas. He might, yes, Israeli citizen, but maybe he was trying to do America a favor. Vegas is kind of scummy. There's a clip from the local news in Vegas, KTNV, with a little bit of the alarming components of this story. Let's take a look at that. That's clip 3.
It's puzzling to experts, a biolab in a suburban home garage.
Unless these things get raided, nobody's going to find them. It's not like we know that they're there.
Investigators say they were tipped off to one by someone who worked in the house. They raided it early Saturday morning. Video revealing the hundreds of samples collected in vials and jugs. Days later, police identifying this man, Ori Solomon, as the property manager.
We have no knowledge that he had any expertise or is in that area, or he's somewhat of a trained biologist, no.
Court records obtained by Channel 13 show he's an Israeli citizen here on a non-immigrant visa. Authorities say he works for a Chinese citizen who goes by the alias David Herr, who owns the home on Sugar Springs Drive. Herr is in a California jail charged following a 2023 investigation of an alleged illegal biolab in Reedley, California. Leaders there holding a press conference this week.
Pathogens, including samples of COVID-19, there was 1,000 transgenic mice that were there.
Investigators say much of what was found in that there. Fresno warehouse.
I like they had transgenic mice. With Pride Month coming up, what other kind of mice would be more appropriate to do your biolab testing on? So shout out to him, transgenic mice. And on behalf of New MAGA, I would like to formally condemn that Vegas news station for that kind of reporting. The man is an Israeli citizen. How anti-Semitic was that report? They were framing his illegal biolab activity as bad. Like, come on, he's from Israel. God's chosen people. So, on behalf of America, I'd like to apologize to our greatest ally who's literally just in Vegas doing God's work and is now back in according to the 1948 version of Israel, he's back in the land of God's promised people. Let's just read the Scofield Bible, ladies and gentlemen, not the actual Bible. That's good. Scofield reference Bible is where it's at. Give me a guy who's an alcoholic, abandoned his family, and literally was in jail for fraud. I want him to reinterpret the Bible for us. And then we have Zionism spreading in the West, and people don't even know where it came from. 1909, Scofield reference Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Land of opportunity here. Hey, speaking of Israel, there's a poll Thomas Massey put up on X, aka Twitter, because I'm an old crotchety man and I refuse to just call it X. So Thomas Massey put this poll up. What's the greatest threat to liberty in America? Israel, Iran, China, or Russia? So this is over 39,000 votes in the 24-hour poll that's now concluded. Wow, golly, Israel came up as number one. 86% of people said, yeah, Israel's the greatest threat to liberty in America. China came in second, then Iran, and then Russia. Now, this is a cross-section thinking of the American people. The skepticism, not about Jewish people, but the Israeli government, is just growing. And this poll by Massey, it's honestly just astonishing. Now you could say, well, that's Thomas Massey's audience. So like Israel just unseated him, even though we're told Israel had nothing to do with that election. As you can see, Ed Galrain, nobody knew his last name, by the way. I don't even know if I pronounce it right. Over $15 million in AIPAC funding. Thomas Massey comes in a very distant, shameful second place in that race with zero funding. Nothing to do with Israel. This election wasn't about Israel. Is Israel in any way connected to the Israel lobby? Now, that's how it, the results of that poll, that's how it registers on my radar too. Now, I'm just one guy with honestly idiotic thinking, but what I do have is pure intent and a willingness to tell truth as I see it. And how I see it, the threat of Israel to liberty in America, where we have rights and the will of the people is done. Part of liberty is our government is here to serve us. That, like breaking news, just in, our government is here to serve us, not the other way around. I know there was a Republican guy, I forgot his name. You've seen clips of it probably. He's probably at least half reptile. Recently said, yeah, the Republican Party, we're here to do what's in the best interest of the government, not the American people. Hey, you said the quiet part out loud. Shut up. So given that those things are part of liberty in our country, how I see Israel as a threat, and apparently, you know, 39,000 people in Thomas Massey's poll, 86% of them see it as the biggest threat as well. It's not, hey, Israel might bomb us or do terrorist attacks, as bad as those would be, but it's the hijacking of our government system that is supposed to serve the people. It's one thing if our American federal government and state governments, if they're hijacked by power-hungry Americans, that's bad.
It's been happening.
And it's a whole other can of worms if a foreign nation hijacks our federal government, state governments, determines our elections, or heavily influences our elections. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the poll according to Thomas Massey followers on Twitter.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong.
When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee, and it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones Was Right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f***? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying. Not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay? Oh, listen. Oh, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop.
Stop.
And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexJonesShow.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, if you are a supporter of truth, you can support your health and support truth at the same time. Just go to the alexjonesstore.com. Now, I recommend if you have people in your life, family members who just get a little bit of eyes glazed over, angry, you know, the hypnosis kicks in anytime you talk about maybe touchy subjects for them. The vaccine, whatever it might be, but say they're kind of into health. There's someone who spent some time in California. They picked up some good health habits. I recommend getting them good health products and supplements they would endorse. They've probably used different versions of, but get them those products from the Alex Jones store. see what happens to them. They'll be grateful and rageful at the same time. You know, Aunt Catherine, who has blue hair, she's triple vaxxed, but thinks she lives an all-natural lifestyle. Get her some methylene blue. Alex Jones store logo right on it, his signature. She won't know what to do with herself. She'll either boycott methylene blue for the rest of her life. I didn't know Alex Jones uses this. Or it might be like, oh, Alex Jones is in methylene blue. What's this all about? Maybe he's not such a bad guy. He is a bad guy. He may be not as bad as I thought. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support this show, if you want to support probably the greatest truth crusader I've ever met, Alex Jones, go to thealexjonesstore.com to support your health while supporting truth at the same time. Now, there is no question President Trump, as like campaign promises, like Trump's never changed. Well, yes, he has. He's betrayed campaign promises. There's no question the guy is still very powerful. And for the record, I like a lot of what he's done. And I really dislike some of what he's done. I just like to call balls and strikes. But given that there's no question the guy is powerful, I saw this come up this morning. Trump was 118 for 118 in his endorsed primary candidates in recent primary races. And you can see with the U.S. Senate, he endorsed 9 candidates. 9 of his candidates won. This is link 5A if the Antifa gentleman in back care to bring it up. And the U.S. House, we know Thomas Massie was touched on the underside of this. He endorsed 101 candidates, and all 101 of them won. And as far as governor primary candidates, endorsed 8 won. I mean, that's impressive. 118 for 118. And, I don't have any grounds for this to stand on, but it is just a question. And I know we get smeared for just asking questions nowadays. Like, that's now a smear. Oh, you're just asking questions? Yeah, I am. It's a question. Who influenced Trump to pick these guys? I mean, we know Ed Galrain was just kind of like, I don't know. What do I stand for? I disavowed the Republican Party. So you want me to be a Republican? Do war in Iran? Okay. If that's what you want. So I'm not sure if Trump, if all any of these people have their own legs to stand on, or if it's just like, you know, these guys are going to help with what we're doing. What we're doing. Okay. At one of those races, Texas Senator, I know Harrison covered it in the beginning of the show, and I'll just touch on it with a little unhinged opinion. Ken Paxton is one of those races that Trump endorsed. So Ken Paxton won. He's attorney general in the great state of Texas. And he's an interesting candidate. He's got what some who have morals and decency, some would call like, gosh, Ken seems to have some faults, like alleged bribery, alleged abuse of office allegations, fraud. I don't think that one's alleged because he's settled. And then this one, if you're a parent, this kind of subject matter, it just makes my skin crawl. But Ken Paxton, one of his seemingly faults, and again, this is just the guy that Trump endorsed, and he won the primary in the Texas senator race. There was a child rapist. You know, Ken Paxton, his office is the prosecuting attorney. The guy gets off with 60 days in jail, doesn't even serve all of it. And we might say, gosh, those seem like faults. Ugh. I don't know. If you look at who Trump surrounds himself with, you know, the Howard Lutnicks of the world, the all the guys in
not all. He's in some Epstein company. Can we say that? He's doing some protection of those people. I don't know. Are they just an underrepresented minority that needs protection? Maybe. But Trump seems to be protecting some of the Epstein class, as he said to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Don't you release those files. It'll hurt my friends.
Ooh.
So given some of that company that President Trump, for all the good he's done, gosh, that's some weird company, buddy. Trump probably looked at these things of Ken Paxton. Oh, gosh, bribery, abuse of office allegations, fraud. He's objectively a pedophile protector. Gosh, guys, this looks like his resume. I like it. This guy looks qualified. It looks like the guy's just getting after it. This is impressive. Not many people are willing to do this. But our best and brightest, ladies and gentlemen, because what I find interesting about this is you're kind of pitting by the way, I'm not going to be one of these like party loyalists. I'm just not that. This is, I guess, we support Ken Paxton now. That's what we are doing. He's the other conservative guy was crummy too. So Ken Paxton, let's get behind him. Maybe not going to be me, but the other choice now, I guess the Democrat senatorial candidate, if that's even a word, James Tallarico. I don't know if that, and I don't care. I don't respect the guy enough to actually pronounce his name right. But James Tallarico, he'll be the Democrat senatorial candidate. And he's the guy, Harrison showed a clip. We don't have to replay it, but he's the guy that's like, I think Jesus would support abortion because the Bible doesn't specifically say don't do abortion. So, okay. These are the two choices, our best and brightest, ladies and gentlemen, here to just lead the country and lead the great state of Texas. You got to love that rationalization. Of James Tallarico. I don't know. I think Jesus would support abortion because he didn't say in the Bible not to do abortion. It's like, all right. Jesus also didn't say he didn't specify every kind of thing. He didn't say don't go cut the arms off your neighbor. He kind of said murder is wrong, but he didn't say a mass killing of five is wrong. He didn't even say a mass killing of seven is wrong. So you got to love the guy's logic. You know, give him credit for that. He is a creative individual, this James Tallarico gentleman. So those of us who are proud Texans, we get to look at maybe the opposite of that, shameful candidates. Ken Paxton, James Tallarico. I don't know who's, I don't like that. It's not a fun choice. It's not, but that's our best and brightest. I don't know of anybody. Thomas Massie might be one. Rand Paul might be two. I don't know of many people who want to run for office who deserve to be in office. The kind of people that want to run for office. I mean, you look at Ken Paxton's resume. It's like, that seems like the kind of guy that would want to run for office. Bribery allegations, abuse allegations, abuse of office allegations, allegedly fraud allegations, pedo protection. It seems like power hungry people want to be in office. And who do power hungry people want to serve? Themselves. And those around them, they want to serve those around them because they want to get something for themselves. Yeah, I'll do the bidding for you because of what's in it for me. More power. Visit to the island. I am honored. I'll bring my whole family. Howard Lutnick's doing well nowadays, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, also in the news, Pam Bondi, I mean, she's back in the news. I guess the Dow is above 50,000. I haven't checked the stocks, but it's got to be above 50,000. There's two pieces of breaking news with Pam Bondi. Three. Number one is her age. I didn't realize she was 60 years old. Did you? As a heterosexual man, I will say, not bad for 60. That's a compliment, Pam. Is it misogynistic? Yes. You look pretty good, Pam, for 60 years old. That's a compliment. Take it. I don't have any other compliments for you right now. So, breaking, Attorney General Pam Bondi's been quietly battling thyroid cancer in her time following her departure from her role as U.S. Attorney General. Horrible news, as reported by Nick Sorter. By the way, a lot of people around Trump have been getting cancer recently. I don't know why. But that comes out along with, I mean, seemingly simultaneously, these two news headlines. One is Pam has cancer, and just sincerely, if that's true, I don't know, I question everything. It's probably true. That's horrible, and hopefully she's doing okay with it, thyroid cancer. No jokes about that. The other headline that comes out is Pam Bondi was just appointed by Trump to be the on the White House AI panel. The White House AI panel, ladies and gentlemen, Pam Bondi, resident AI expert now. Trump appoints Pam Bondi to White House AI panel. Bondi will be tasked with facilitating coordination between the government and AI companies on the panel. Does your AI know how to figure out who's in the Epstein files and who the criminals? Well, make it stop. So she's on that panel. Here's just what strikes me. These two headlines hitting the circuit simultaneously. Because when something comes out, I'm curious about three things: what, when, and why. You know, they, in this case, these Trump administration, but whoever they are, they don't, like, they're feeding you information at a given time for a reason. And they don't want you to think the reason is anything other than, like, we just wanted you to know. But what is it? Okay, she's on the AI panel. When and why? When? Well, this one is interesting. It comes out right when we're told, like simultaneously, right when we're told Pam Bondi has cancer. It kind of positions her as a victim. And we're kind of told you're not allowed to be skeptical of victims. Because it just comes out like, hey, Pam's a, she's an AI expert, kind of like how Kamala was the border czar. She knows about borders. So Pam's going to be, you know, this AI stuff that could end humanity, could certainly alter our ways of life. These are questions you shouldn't consider because Pam is a victim. I don't know if that's actually why the coordinated effort, but I do know, which, by the way, we're going to bring Danks on the air for an interview in just a couple minutes. I'm very excited about this. But just like when we're told, hey, there might be some weird looking behavior from Erica Kirk, you're not allowed to question it because she is just a grieving widow, very much positioned as a victim status. You can't question Israel because they've been an oppressed people. Benjamin Netanyahu will tell you that left and right. So I got, by the way, Erica Kirk, you told me she's just a grievous. She's not just that. She's literally the CEO of a 9-figure organization. She voluntarily stepped into the spotlight. No. She's just a grieving widow. Well, she's objectively not just that. She's something more as well. So there is an unspoken contract that I wouldn't recommend signing, which is you never question victims. It's wrong. Now, it's different if someone's like legitimately the victim of a crime or a circumstance. But when someone's either kind of through propaganda psyops or otherwise positioned as a victim, well, it's almost like you're intentionally trying to make them off limits for any scrutiny. But I'm sure I'm just paranoid. I think Pam Bondi will do a wonderful job as the resident AI expert at the White House. I'm sure she'll stand for truth and justice when it comes to the AI frontier, as she stood for truth and justice with the Epstein files. I loved her testimony, just a transparent woman. The files are on my desk. I'm reviewing them. And there's also no files. Pam sent me this. She got a couple pages of the Epstein files right there. But hey, I would like to bring on, he is a fact finder incarnation as a human. His name is Danks. And if you don't follow him, you'll want to follow him on Twitter. You'll find him at Dankster Intel. And this man, he came onto my radar a few months ago and I was just blown away with what he presented. I mean, he brings transparency to a sea of fog that we're living in. When you think of your favorite, or at least the, you know, some of the most well-known conservative voices, the current Charlie Kirk show being one of them, and you find out, wow, they're actually, they have to integrate Israel propaganda into their show. And these are, you know, podcasters positioned as America First. And in the past 6-9 months, we've seen America First come out to be seemingly something different. So if we've got him available, let's bring on Danks, ladies and gentlemen. Is he available?
I'm fully available.
We're about to bring him on, ladies and gentlemen. As we bring him on, I do want to say, we'll go through some of the just foundation of receipts that Danks has come up with. And then, recently, I don't know if you followed it, Danks and I'll get into it. There was a bit of a bloodbath in the comment section of, a Charlie Kirk show recent episode where they're trying to address the backlash. You know, Andrew Klevitt, the current head, Blake Neff, the current heads, faces of the Charlie Kirk show. They were addressing the backlash that they received for seemingly betraying Charlie Kirk's legacy as it relates to Thomas Massie. So as they were addressing it, they made it worse. And the comment section of that video where it just became an absolute bloodbath, Danks's work was the backbone of it all. Danks, how are you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good. Good to be here. Good to see you, JP. Shout out to Alex Jones and Harrison Smith and everybody here. It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me, JP.
Heck
good
yeah.
To
see you. And I know you've been on before with Harrison and Alex couldn't be here. Rumor has it he's in Israel kissing the wall while holding hands with Lindsey Graham.
That sounds like a party. How come we weren't invited, bro? What is going on?
I don't know. Next time, accept the $7,000 check, Danks. That's all I have to say. But brother.
Well, I did want to, sorry to interrupt. We do have really good news. The Dow is up today, 0.45%. Unfortunately, though, Oracle and Palantir are both down. So we're concerned, but you know,
that's why
the Dow is up.
I still felt like I had some resemblance of privacy in my life. So that explains it. Palantir's down. That's a shame. Please pray for Palantir, ladies and gentlemen. But Danks, brother, man, I know you and I have talked before and I'm impressed with your work. I don't know how you do what you do, but you go into these, you know, government filings and find out stuff that's available. I just perceive it to be very hard to find. I wouldn't even know how to go about it. And you do so much, but some of what you've found in the past few months has had to do with Salem Media Network. they're a podcast network, radio network, that hosts some very popular conservative voices, the Charlie Kirk Show being one of them, Laura Trump being another one, Brandon Tatum. I'm not sure if he's still with them, but he was. So I'm curious. I want to get into the details, but just give us the 50,000 foot view from above. What have you found big picture, and what drove you to want to do these investigations?
Yeah, those are great questions. I'll say this. I started looking into connections, I guess you could say, when I was looking into some of the Turning Point USA Form 990s, which are the LLC for nonprofit filings for your taxes every year. And I kind of ran across something that didn't make sense at the time. So this was like back in January, January, February. And there was a company called Clock Tower LLC. And I believe it was America's Turning Point had given almost 50% of their annual revenue. America's Turning Point, a subsidiary of Turning Point USA, one of the four arms of this nonprofit, Turning Point. And what happened was they just documented as giving them $999,000 from America's Turning Point to Clock Tower for research. That's basically what it said. That company ends up closing down. There's no information otherwise. Not too long later, a company called Clock Tower X LLC opens up. This is maybe a year and a half, 2 years after they closed down the first Clock Tower. And it happens to be under Brad Parscale as the principal, registered foreign agent of Israel. And their direct real meaning of what they're supposed to be doing is integrating pro-Israel messaging into Salem media and aligned narrative programs, influencers, podcasts. It doesn't stop at Salem media, but they are the hub. And Charlie Kirk, the network, the Charlie Kirk podcast, Salem media, that's their biggest show.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to what their messaging is, it could come in a variety of different ways. But for example, Dinesh D'Souza, he said, "Oh, well, I'm not with Salem media anymore. You might want to get me off your post." That's not what the FARA documents, Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA.gov. It's a government website where foreign agents that are registered to do business in this country on behalf of another country are required to file. Now, Pam Bondi has done some dismantling of the oversight, but it doesn't matter if you're in Salem media or not. If you have the same pro-Zionist messaging and it's pro-Israeli Zionism or Christian Zionism or Judaism Zionism, whatever.
FYI, apparently you're an anti-Semite. Go on.
Well, I'm a Semite, and I'm Iranian, actually. I'm half Iranian.
Thanks. So. We're going to pick up. We got to go to a commercial break, but we're going to pick up right there when we come back, and I'm excited to have you on. Please follow Dankster Intel on Twitter.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now. Has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, "I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life." And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, "It's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep." Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not supposed to be. You're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. And we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3, trifecta, iodine, and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously, the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, the Alex Jones Show. I'm JP Sears, and I'm joined by Danks. You'll find him on X or Twitter, whatever you like to call it, Dankster Intel. So we're talking about Salem Media, of course, the Charlie Kirk Show being under that. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about how Andrew Klevit, one of the current heads of TPUSA, has recently denied that. And then people brought the receipts that you were the first to bring to the world. So where we left off, you mentioned Clocktower X, I believe, Brad Parscale, who is a registered, federally registered foreign agent of Israel with that company. He's also the chief strategy officer of Salem Media. Where do we take it from here? With where we left off.
Well, I'll tell you, we need this. This is important to note is that not only, okay, why is this important? Let's say it this way. Why is this important? Salem Media runs like between their radio, podcasting, influencer, like all the networks that they have. It's like 900 different things to watch and listen to. Yeah. All right. You have the number one pro-American Christian, they say, Christian American radio podcasting network on the, in the country, I guess, maybe on the planet. I don't know. It's a publicly traded company, which I want to get into real, shortly here about they've been recently taken to Waterstone as a private entity. But why is this important? Because you have a chief strategy officer who is named Brad Parscale, which I think there's people behind him actually, but he is the forefront of Clock Tower X LLC. His messaging is required on behalf of what the FARA documents say. He's receiving money from the Israeli foreign government, from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Israel. The money comes through an intermediary, and then it gets piped down into like a bunch of different companies. It's on my website, AmericansForTransparency.org. Feel free to go to the main page, scroll down. You can see the graph there, anybody that's watching. And you can see all the companies that are being paid throughout this $100-something million. And then they've actually reinitiated it for 2026 for more money. That money is specifically coming from Israel into Clock Tower X LLC's pocket in order to spread pro-Israel messaging through Salem Media Group. It literally says it through Salem Media and aligned messaging, narrative, podcasts, news stations, what have you. So you're receiving information from a foreign government that has paid another company to get their messaging into the largest American Christian show network in the country.
Yeah.
And so that means that this is not an America first conversation that we could have trusted on their shows, any of their networks, Charlie Kirk. I mean, the list goes on. Brandon Tatum's not there anymore, but again, aligned. See, that's where people need to understand in the documentation. They don't have to be a Salem Media. They could have worked there. They could have done a show with them. You could be, anybody really, but if you have aligned narratives, That's kind of the concern.
Yeah.
It is a concern.
And I would phrase it, deception is the concern. That's why the transparency that you bring, which again, you mentioned your website. Please check it out, everybody. It's AmericansForTransparency.org. AmericansForTransparency.org. Why? Because Americans need transparency. If you're listening to the largest Christian radio show, you know, pro-America show, the Charlie Kirk show, God rest Charlie's show, his show is now run by other people. If you're listening to that, thinking you're listening to just pro-America, pro-Christian messaging, you're being deceived. Because what you have discovered, what we've just walked through some of, is the chief strategy officer of Salem Media, he's got a FARA, it's on the FARA document, he's got a contract to integrate pro-Israel messaging into it. Thanks, we got to take a break, brother, and when we come back, we're going to get angry, okay?
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is Rocket Fuel. This is incredible. This is Rocket Fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShield.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, everybody. I am a soulless redhead, fortunate enough to fill in for Alex Jones, joined by Danks. And Danks, picking up where we left off, a couple questions for you. With what we just walked through, and again, look at it with your own eyes, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things to digest, and you can go to AmericansForTransparency.org. Probably be told like transparency, it's dangerous. Cue the New York Times to put that article out. Danks,
extremists.
They want truth. These extremists. With what we just walked through, how shows under Salem Media, under Brad Parscale, their chief strategy officer, chief strategy officer, who has on his FARA document a contract to integrate pro-Israel messaging. So, you know, we've got a few degrees of separation and plausible deniability. Like, it's not Israel. Yeah, well, it's Israeli interests. Let's just be real. First question, is there anything illegal about this? Is it legal and just deceptive, or is there anything illegal and deceptive?
Well, what they're doing is fundamentally legal. However, first of all, this comes with a disclaimer. I'm not a legal counsel. I'm just a comedian telling jokes.
Ladies and gentlemen, purposes only.
All I can say is that when you're doing work on behalf of a foreign government, and I want to real quick wrap back to what you said, it is a direct line. Now, it might seem like there's degrees of separation, but when you look at the money, when you look at the documents and you tie it all together, the money comes from Israel, goes to Havas Media. There's an agreement that between Clock Tower X LLC and Havas Media Group of Germany, acting on behalf of the state of Israel. Their scope of work is development and execution of comprehensive anti-Semitism digital campaigns.
I like that. Anti-Semitism. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
Exactly. No, you're good. And that's what they're calling it. And so this digital campaign targeting American audiences has a budget of $9 million, and that's over a certain contracted period. But that money will be, I'm sure, reimbursed or not reimbursed, more initiated in order to continue their messaging, because they are literally supposed to do 50 million impressions a month across various other social media networks like TikTok or whatever. Now, to get to your illegal, well, every single entity that is involved should be named in the FARA filings. I've gone through pretty much everything, and I haven't seen every single potential asset that could be used or paid or spreading this messaging, anti-Semitism messaging on behalf of that foreign government, is not listed fully to my knowledge. Now, maybe something is updated that I've missed, but that is where it starts to get in a gray illegal area. You would want to know if you needed to go look up, hey, like, is Sean Hannity, if he is, I'm not saying he is, but if, or is Charlie Kirkshaw, all of every single entity should be listed. To my knowledge, that is how this FARA documentation is supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that Pam Bondi has dismantled the oversight. I can keep saying that. I need to, because people need to know Pam Bondi didn't get fired. She did her job. Yeah. And she was relieved. Okay. She was a starting pitcher.
Yeah. Amen to that. Now she's an AI expert, by the way. I think it's one thing, you know, freedom of speech in our country. Like if you're listening to like pro Israel messaging, great. But if there's the deception where you think you're literally listening to pro America messaging, but it's got the like Israeli propaganda in it, that's incredibly deceptive. That's why I'm such a big fan of your work. Like I just like truth and transparency, then make your own conclusions. Now with Salem Media, it's interesting how Trump and his administration, you know, he's betrayed some of his campaign promises, going to war with Iran, seemingly on behalf of it, starting a war for Israel. State Department website says that, by the way, even though Trump's own words denies it. Trump seems to be friendly with Israel. Now with Salem Media, where they're integrating pro-Israel messaging into their media properties, there's an interesting Trump family connection to Salem Media. What is that?
Yeah, so Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr., and Laura Trump, they both own, this is per Salem Media, significant ownership stake in Salem Media and vice versa. So Donald Trump Jr. has his own media company. I think it's called MXM. And so Salem Media owns 30% of that. It's undisclosed how much Don Jr. and Lara Trump own of Salem Media, but they do have ownership. And so they're business married. That's pretty much what I've been calling it, business married. And so it's very concerning to me that obviously the White House's family, the Trump family, knows who's involved in their business, especially as a chief strategist officer. So you can't tell me that you didn't know that a foreign agent is reporting as the head of strategy for the company that you own a majority stake in, or a large whatever, even if it's 5%, it's a lot of a publicly traded company. You can't tell me that you didn't know that there's some back deal foreign agent like stuff going on here. And so basically to make it cut and dry, Don Jr., the Trump family, owns a stake in Salem Media. Now, I don't know what's going to happen now that Salem Media has been taken private through Waterstone. Okay, Waterstone, a lot of people haven't really been talking about this that I've seen, but on May 12th, if you looked at Salem Media's stock price, the ticker is SALM, like salmon, SALM, their stock went up from 40 cents to almost a dollar, 95 cents, seemingly overnight. You can look at the 1 month chart. And that's because they got taken private, or taken through this private company, Waterstone. What's interesting about Waterstone is the board of directors, from my finding, is named Richard von Nechten, who happens to also run Salem Media's board of director and also Waterstone board of director, chairing Salem Media and also runs Waterstone board of directors. So Richard von Nechten, same human being, both sides of the table, going to this Waterstone company. Salem's CEO, David Santrella, confirmed it on the record. Von Necton is the chairman of Salem's board. So it's interesting to see, like, the president of this Waterstone sitting on the board of Salem Media. Like, that's not a partnership. That is a transaction of some sort, allegedly. All right, maybe a self-transaction. Both signatures on the deal trace back to the same boardroom, you know? Yeah. I think that we are seeing Waterstone is actually, someone gave me a tip on this Waterstone company. I believe David Dunn is on the board of directors in that company, Waterstone. I'd like to maybe talk to this person. Tim Dunn's, I believe, one of the sons. And so there's an interesting connection of Zionism here that just continues to roll about as we watch Salem Media disseminate pro-Israel propaganda. I don't know how any other way to put it.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll in a few minutes we'll get to how the current heads of Turning Point USA have recently come out and said, no, we're not associated with Salem Media. And then, like, your work was shown right to them in the comments section. Just absolute bloodbath for them. We'll get to that. And actually, just as we're going, guys, Antifa in the back, thanks. There's a lot of radical extremists that work here. They're just all Antifa. This whole place is funded by Soros. If you could pull up link 25, this is SalemPodcastNetwork.com. We pull it up just for the purpose of these are their shows, their advertising. You see Laura Trump right there. The Charlie Kirk Show will be the fourth one that comes across on the scrolling banner. Dengs, I don't like to be a sucker for my own confirmation bias. You know, some of the Erica Kirk stuff, current Turning Point USA, there's some sketchiness there, I believe, to look at. And I don't want to just hear all this information on Salem Media and then just assume worst possible scenario. I like to have an open mind. I like to be skeptical, and I also like to pursue truth. So what I'm curious about, you know, the people that run the Charlie Kirk Show currently, like, is it possible in your eyes that, like, this Brad Parscale, like, hey, he's the chief strategy officer of this company, Salem Media, that we work with, and here we are, the Charlie Kirk Show. Is it possible that they didn't know this or not? I'm curious your opinion.
Yeah, I guess it could be possible, right? The thing is, Brad Parscale has worked with Charlie Kirk for like nearly a decade. Okay. You know what I mean? Tyler Boyer, I called and asked Tyler Boyer directly about this. He knows Brad Parscale, and he told me directly. You know, I might have shared this once somewhere else, so you're getting like sloppy second breaking news, it's information from Tyler Boyer. He said, well, I asked him about Brad Parscale and the deal with Salem Media and the foreign agent stuff. And he said, well, the way I looked at it is that Brad Parscale really thought he was just doing a good thing in regards to spreading this pro-Israel messaging. And I guess because they all align with this pro-Zionist information. And so I don't believe that they didn't know, because that's a very direct response from Tyler Boyer himself from TPUSA.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they're aware of this.
Maybe
the people on the show, maybe does Blake and these guys, maybe, but probably, you know, maybe not. I can't say for sure.
They sure as hell probably know now, because all this has gone public thanks to you. And I appreciate also your open mind of putting the possibility on the table, like this pro-Zionist messaging, and it's great to call it that. I think it's actually inaccurate to call it pro-Israel messaging, even though it's actually how it's packaged on the FARA contract or the FARA document with the contract. But I think Israel's just a symptom. It's a country. I think it's truly all about Zionism. I don't think Israel has an Israel agenda. it's more of a Zionist agenda. But my point is, I appreciate how your open mind, you can sit here with all these receipts and say, yeah, and Tyler Boyer might have thought they're doing a good thing. You know, when it comes to Zionist agendas, first off, they rarely call them Zionist agendas. And second off, they don't package it as, here's a really evil thing we want to do. You're going to help us right. do this evil thing? No, it's just God's chosen people, oppressed people, and you like humans. These are humans. They need help. So, of course, I've been giving TPUSA the benefit of the doubt. I could firmly believe that they believe they're doing a good thing, but the truth shall set you free. And when you know the truth of where this stuff comes from, you can make your own conclusions. Is a Zionist agenda a good thing to you? Maybe it was to Tyler Boyer. Maybe not. Is it a good thing in my mind? No, nah, not so much in my mind. Thanks. I want to, do you have anything else just percolating before we get to, the recent bloodbath on Andrew Klovitz's comments?
Yeah, I mean, real quick before we go there, I will just say, like, a lot of people might say, well, what's the big deal, right? Yes. What's the big deal? The big deal is that somebody with money from a foreign government has a specific agenda that's hidden behind the curtain. And although some radios or shows might have something, like, this is an extreme circumstance, a foreign government paying a foreign agent who makes their way to be somehow a chief strategy officer of the largest American Christian podcasting and radio station in America. The reason it's a big deal is because it's not coming, not all of it, at least, is coming from Americans regarding pro-Christian America. Yeah. It's regarding pro-Israel. And that's what it is that it's deceiving and it's funded and it's not what we expect when we tune in to watch Sunday with whoever or the Charlie Kirk or whatever it is. It's just not something that we would expect, you know, and I guess that's why it's hidden in a FARA filing and had to be found.
Yeah.
So I just want to make it clear, like, this, think about the hoops I had to go through. Now, I will say there was one company that made, a post, a news article about it. I wish I could remember the name of the website. And they mentioned something about Brad Parscale and the Salem Media connection. But once I dug in and I saw all of this, I was just like, wow. I wonder if anybody – and nobody really knew about it, you know? Very few people.
And you're the first that – I mean, to your knowledge, you're the first to bring all this to light?
I'm the first to my knowledge regarding – I thought I was the first for sure – when it came to Salem Media and Brad Parscale, but I think I was the first to actually tie in Charlie Kirk show, all of the other subsidiary networks and like all of the messaging and going in and I built this website, you know, so I've probably done a lot more than what was put out first. I don't want to say first for sure, but I'm pretty sure, you know what I mean? I haven't seen much else from before. I know Gen X Girl has done a lot of great work as well, and she did some before me. So I haven't seen or looked specifically to see if she had exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But well, there's a couple of people out here, but I put a lot of information out in various ways.
You have, and I've seen, I think, Megyn Kelly referencing it. I don't know if she accredited you, but she's referencing the same information. You were maybe the first to bring up, certainly first that I've seen. Danks, before we go to break, I want to start the ball rolling on, you know, everything we just went through. It ties in perfectly with some major backlash that the current faces of the Charlie Kirk show are causing themselves. And I want to, in a second, let's play clip 18. So just setting this up. Then I think it was the morning after Thomas Massie's primary loss. The Charlie Kirk show, they were just doing a lot of gaslighting about, well, he lost his race because he betrayed Trump. And everybody has seen the clips of Charlie saying Thomas Massie is one of my favorite congressmen. So there was so much backlash that I imagine that's what led them to the clip we're about to see, where they're addressing the backlash. And I think they made the poop storm even worse. So, Deng says this is a 2 minute clip. Let's roll it. And then you and I are going to have some fun with it. Clip 18.
Let's go.
I wanted to know a little bit more about the Thomas Massey, loss and what's your thoughts on that?
I got so many thoughts. You know, it's interesting, David. I've been accused. I think the organization's been accused. Eric has been accused of betraying Charlie, by not coming out and endorsing one way or the other and not being more involved in that race. I will tell you, and I haven't said this publicly, but and I know this isn't necessarily a question, but it's an opportunity to address it. But, you know, after the One Big Beautiful Bill vote, you know, and I want to respect Charlie's privacy as well. It's always the tension in all of this. You know, there's private conversations. Charlie was a fan of Thomas Massey, especially historically, liked him on war, liked him on being a budget hawk and spending. But he was pretty frustrated that Massey didn't vote in the affirmative on the Big Beautiful Bill, because it was essentially the totality of President Trump's first year agenda wrapped into one bill. And I will just say, privately, Charlie was really, really frustrated.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it. And I think he would have become more frustrated over the events of the past 9 months, which is, we liked what Massey said. We liked his libertarian credentials. We liked him making the debt clock that ran on the little lapel pin.
I still like Massey.
And there's so many things to like about him, but he has, especially over the past few months, he's become the number one, let's put it, Republican gadfly. Republican who gets in Trump's way, criticizes Trump, and not just on debt or the war, but also on Epstein, saying that where there's this pedophile class that Trump is allied to, essentially. And I think Charlie would have been, as you said, very frustrated. He would have, and Charlie was not a guy who would feud publicly. He would have certainly been messaging.
Okay, and we can end it there. Boy, I love that. Charlie would have been frustrated with these, you know, Epstein guys. Like, why is Massey trying to expose them? So I think there's a decent implication, Danks, where Andrew Clevitt, the first guy who was talking, is like, hey, Thomas Massey told me, take his word for it, told me he's frustrated with Massey because Massey didn't vote for Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. Therefore, the implication is, Charlie would have been against Massey. So here these people are. They're, from my view, they're changing Charlie's mind for him. And it's pissing people off. We can see it. You saw the bald guy, Blake Neff, say, yeah, you know, Charlie would have been frustrated with Thomas Massey making a big deal about these Epstein criminals. Can we just move on from that? And Leslie, before, we move on, cause there's so much here I want to get to there. We've been talking about the Israel propaganda. There is absolutely an Israel tie-in. We've all seen the text messages where Charlie was distancing himself from the Zionists. I think he was waking up to it. I don't know. I'm not changing his mind. It seems like it, where he was, distancing himself from it, not willing to be pro-Israel no matter what. He was losing Israeli interest donors. Others were pressuring him. Don't have Tucker. Don't have Candace. They're saying the word Zionist and we don't want them to. Allegedly, he had a phone call with Netanyahu and Charlie turned down $150 million. What that offer was, who knows? Use your imagination. And Thomas Massey was, he's obviously against foreign funding, including Israel, no exceptions there. And his opponent that defeated him was incredibly funded by the Israeli lobby, AIPAC, and other Israeli interest donors. So there is absolutely this weird common denominator of Israel at hand, and they're changing his mind about Thomas Massey, who wasn't willing to bow down to Israel. So, before we go to break, and Danks, I want to get your comments. Let's pull up, link 21, or I'm sorry, link 20. This is in the comments section of this video, this very post. Thomas Massey shows up. And what's Thomas Massey have to say? Well, he's asking Grok, hey, is it true that the Charlie Kirk Show is now distributed by a registered foreign agent of Israel? Now, when we come back, we'll see Grok's response and Andrew Clevitt's response telling two different stories. keeping in mind all the info, Danks, that you just walked us through, it gets interesting because the truth is coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, and people of all genders, we will be back shortly after this short break.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. Your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately. I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so. Most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is if you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are back on the Alex Jones Show. I am JP Sears, to the best of my ability to know who I am. And I am delighted to be joined by my buddy, fellow truth seeker, Danks, who you can find on X, Dankster Intel is his handle. Check him out. And if you're a truth seeker, your belly's going to be full getting into his working. Dinks, where we left off, in the comments section of this Turning Point USA video, where how it strikes me is these heads of the Charlie Kirk show are now deciding to change Charlie Kirk's mind on meaningful things. That's how it strikes me. I'm sure not everybody, but it certainly does for me. And Thomas Massey showed up in the comments section saying, "Hey, Grok, is it true the Charlie Kirk show is under the umbrella of a federally registered foreign agent of Israel?" Now, here's Grok's response to that. Link number 21. And what you'll see is, you know, I think a pretty good summary of what you and I have walked through, Danks. Yes, there's a substantive connection here worth noting. Charlie Kirk Show, syndicated as a podcast, was on radio via Salem Media Group, Salem Podcast Network, which maintains its partnership with Turning Point USA post Kirk's assassination. And then it goes on, which is fantastic. Now, what's interesting to me, I just want to present this, Danks, and then close my mouth and get your read on it. Here at link 22, if you want to bring that up, Andrew Klovitz's response, who is one of the faces you saw on the Charlie Kirk show. Here is his response to Thomas Massey. If you want to pull that up, it's different than Grok's response. Andrew Klovitz says to Thomas Massey, "The answer to your question is no. The Charlie Kirk Show, which I started with Charlie in 2019, is distributed on RAV, not Salem. I've been here for the entire journey, booked all the guests, including you twice," to Thomas Massey, "developed all of the editorial. We follow Bannon's War Room." Good Epstein guy. "I actually love your stance on war, Maha and the debt. To make any of this about Israel is not only wrong, it's telling." Danks, what do you make of Andrew Klovitz's response there?
Well, a couple problems with that answer from Andrew. And, you know, I'm going at the substance of what he's literally telling a congressman in public, you know, is that Andrew says the show is distributed on RAV, not Salem. Real America's Voice. Okay. So we check that against public record. Salem Media Group's own website, Salem Podcast Network, Charlie Kirk Show, listed right there. All right. You could pull up salemnow.com or just Google Charlie Kirk Show Salem and you'll find it on Salem's properties list, right? So Salem's podcast network, Salem's cross promotional ecosystem, Salem's still hosting it after his death and was before. And they're still distributing clips and still cross promoting, whatever it might be. Saying we're on RAV, not Salem, is technically narrow and broadly false. Okay.
Yeah.
The show has multi-platform distribution. RAV is just one outlet. Salem is another. You don't get to pick the platform that doesn't have a registered foreign agent as a chief strategist officer and pretend the other one doesn't exist. You know, so
yeah.
That's what I say.
It strikes me pretty similarly. I think him citing, "I started the Charlie Kirk show with Charlie back in 2019. You know, it's distributed on RAV, not Salem." You know, after his opening statement of the answer to your question is no, that strikes me as he's denying association with Salem pretty broadly. That's how it strikes me. And then we get to Andrew starting to walk it back deeper in the comments section because, Danks, there were people in there posting your work. I posted, you know, a link to your pinned tweet on Dankster Intel on X, and other people, you know, the Grok response comes up to Thomas Massey. The comments section is filled with receipts, Charlie Kirk Show, Salem. And then Andrew Klovitz starts to walk it back. So this is on link 23, fellas. Here is Andrew's next comment to a guy named Barnes. Barnes, the show was with Salem Radio since 2020. Well, that's changed. You started the show in 2019 with Charlie. Previous comment, which you just said no, and now we're okay. We're admitting to something now that people brought the receipts. The show was with Salem Radio since 2020, but that ended in January. They do not distribute the show. They can still sell ads to the show, but it's no longer exclusive. Real America Voice is our distribution partner. Even if we were still distributed in Salem, they never told us what to say. Now, Danks, this certainly strikes me as a walk back. You know, it seemed like his first comment was just trying to, like, let's shut down this conversation. Salem Media, no, we're done. And the receipts come. He's like, damn it. I guess we're not done. So Andrew is very much, it seems like he's very much relying on the word distributed by Salem, distribution by Salem. So if we're just focusing on that word, and then there's more to focus on than just that, is he wrong or is he right about distributed by Salem?
Well, because I'm not in networks specifically, like I have my own show, that's it. I don't know the inner workings of how all of this stuff works. Now, in to the best of what I've researched, he could be technically right, like on a narrow definition, but again, he's broadly wrong because of the, here, I'll try to break it down best I can. So in radio broadcasting, distribution would be like this, the strictest industry sense, meaning that the syndication or the syndication and delivery infrastructure, who pushes the show, out to affiliate stations, who handles the satellite feed or digital links or uplinks, who manages the affiliate clearance contracts, who books the slots on each market's local radio station. That's a specific role, a syndicator. If COVID is saying that the Salem Radio Network was a syndicator from 2020 through January of 2026, and then they switched, to Real America's Voice as a syndicate, that's a real change. RAV becomes a syndicate partner and Salem stops handling the syndication pieces, right? So on that narrow definition, he probably is technically correct. I believe him, you know, but the part that he's playing word games with is that modern media distribution, to my knowledge, is not just syndication. It's a stack of relationships that all move the show in front of audiences.
Yeah.
And at a minimum, it's got syndication, which is the affiliate radio network delivery methodology, podcast distribution, ad inventory and ad sales, cross promotion and on-air guest swaps, content licensing and clip rights, digital platform infrastructure and architecture. Even if RAV RAV is the name syndicator, RAV operates on Rumble, the same Rumble infrastructure that hosts the Farrah-filed Allies for Peace channel. Different brands, same platform layer. So he's hiding behind the narrow industry definition of a syndication and pretending that the whole word distribution is that, but it isn't. He admitted himself in the tweet when he said Salem can still sell the ads.
Yeah.
So he's wrong on the implication of the tweet saying we cut ties with Salem, therefore Farrah question doesn't apply to us. And I also think it's very interesting that he walks into the, you know, the Israel situation. You know what I mean? It's like, it's telling, you know, if that sentence to make any of this about Israel is not only wrong, it's telling.
Yeah.
Brother, that is the exact playbook the entire Salem ecosystem ran against Tucker Carlson for 14 months.
And
anybody asking a legit.
Yeah, here in the wake of Thomas Massie's primary loss, that was run in this playbook too. Oh, you're just saying he lost because of Israel. To make this about Israel is completely because Thomas Massie betrayed Trump. So yes, it is out of the same PSYOP playbook. It's a consistent narrative and it's part of the censorship complex of shutting down conversation. You're just making this about Israel. It's essentially smearing the truth, ridiculing the truth through tonality and implication rather than based on substance. And also wanting to have a open mind. And I don't know the answer to this. as Andrew Colvett is harping on the technicality of the word distributed. We're not distributed by Salem. We're still on their website. They can still sell ads to our show. So he's essentially, yeah, we're associated with Salem, but they don't distribute us. My question is, yes, that's what he's playing word games with, but if they're distributed by Salem, does that even matter? When we go back to, you know, Salem, Clock Tower X, Brad Parscale, the FARA filings with integrating messages, pro-Israel messages into those properties, have you seen a technicality in those contracts, the filings that say only Salem properties that they distribute have to integrate the pro-Israel messaging? Like, have you seen that technicality, or is Andrew Colvett just sort of doing a misdirection?
Well, to answer your question about does it matter? No, it doesn't matter, because the distribution question is the rabbit hole that Colvett wants you to chase, wants us all to chase. It is a misdirection, right? The actual FARA question doesn't care, like from Thomas Massey or DeGrock or whatever. It doesn't care which network syndicates the show. The actual FARA question is about something different. It's about pro-Israel messaging being distributed into this network, Salem Media, and Align Properties. That is the integration target. All right. The contract names in FARA, Salem Media Network Properties and Aligned. Okay. That's the transaction between Israel, Havas Media, and Parscale's LLC Clock Tower. Yeah. Salem is the destination of the messaging, not the syndicator of any particular single show per the filing. It doesn't matter whether the Charlie Kirk Show is distributed by Salem or by Rav or by anybody else or by you or me. What matters is that Parscale runs strategy at Salem. He's a chief strategy officer there. That's been since January of 2025, by the way. Parscale's LLC takes Israeli money to integrate messaging into Salem. Millions of dollars. FARA filed. Receipts are there. The Charlie Kirk Show was on Salem. And to my knowledge, still is in various ways. So the structural exposure is there. Whether the show is on Salem today is really irrelevant to whether the show's audience was exposed to a Salem editorial environment shaped by a foreign agent.
Yeah, it kind of strikes me like, let's just say I stole a lady's purse and I come back at you like, I was not wearing purple shoes stealing her purse. It's like, well, wait a minute. I can see your shoes are red, but that's not what I'm like. You stole her. I was not wearing purple shoes stealing anybody's purse. It's like, yeah, maybe not, but the purse that was stolen, quit misdirecting this about the color of your shoes technicality that has nothing to do with anything of relevance. Anyway, Danks, I think,
I like the analogy.
Thank you. It's a low IQ analogy, but that's how I roll, brother. Hey, with this huge subject we've been talking about, before I let you go, and of course we'll tell people where to find you once again, anything else pertinent to this subject that you just need to blurt out?
I mean, it's not just Salem Media or podcasting. Brad Parscale's LLC and variety of other LLCs, they're working together as one big coalition. Money's coming from Israel, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and Show Faith by Works, Bridges Partners, the 7K Club, geofencing churches all across the West, Southwest, all across the country. On my website, you can go to AmericansForTransparency.org and go to geofencing, and you can see if your church is listed as a mega church being targeted on behalf of the same aligned pro messaging. They are literally creating websites to feed propaganda. If you scroll down on that page there that you're on, all the way down, down, down a little bit more, right there on the left, there's Was Your Church Targeted? You can scroll down a little bit there. And then on that page, check if your church was geofenced right there. You can click that. There's over 500 churches that are, that these are just the verified ones. And you could literally type it in or you could scroll all the way down. There's 2.5 million people being targeted by the same people, the same campaigns day in and day out. If you go into that church with a phone or a vehicle with a Wi-Fi, GPS or Bluetooth, they are finding a way to manipulate the information inside of your phone, your ads. They're targeting your ChatGPTs, your Claudes. There's something called generative engine optimization. Instead of getting ranked on Google, they're ranking these propaganda websites to be distributed into ChatGPT based on the way the websites are built. And I've been researching how this is done as well and doing my best to combat it, but it's not easy. You've got dozens of websites spinning up fake news articles with real citation links. It's deep like that. That is a whole nother layer. So it starts visually and auditorily with podcasting, but then they surround you at your church through your phone, through your ads, through ChatGPT receiving information. I mean, your pastor might not even know that this is happening. He's in the pew completely centric on the geo target of his church, and his ChatGPT, when he's looking at a, you know, Genesis, whatever, it's spinning it off of whatever they've basically put into his phone, you know, and this is documented. It's all documented. It's on the site. And so I encourage people to do their research, know what's going on around you, and ask questions and demand answers.
I love it, brother. Man, privacy is part of freedom. And how many of us say, yeah, I want to be a target? It's not a very empowering position to be in, but brother, you are empowering people with information about truth and reality that's happening really under the surface. You're doing digging and you're bringing it to the surface. And I know I kind of, you know, squeezed your arm on some of the things today and like, well, I want to know your opinion, but really what you're doing so much of is just saying, here's what you might not see. Now you see it. You can consider it. Draw your own conclusions, but you can't really draw your own conclusions if you're not seeing what's, you know, like the root system that's growing these external experiences in the world. So, man, I love it. You are empowering people with knowledge, with truth. And I so appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Time out of your busy day of just being an awesome guy. Denks, tell people where they can find you, where they can support you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on YouTube, X, Instagram, Rumble at Denkster Intel, DanksterIntel. I'm also the owner of ClubVatra.com. It's a creator engagement platform where you can, you know, have, if you're a creator, you can submit an application and you can join and have your audience come and be a part of your community. ClubVatra.com, ClubVatra. And then of course, AmericansForTransparency.org is my transparency for this country. And on that website, on Americans for Transparency, there's a lot of information. It's not just Salem Media. It's everything from the Canary Mission to, I mean, TPUSA and stuff that I've looked at and to, I mean, did you know? I didn't even know until I started researching that the WhatsApp founder has donated almost more, if the same, if not more as Miriam Adelson. If you got WhatsApp, I'd be careful. You know what I mean? So lots of good stuff to check out. Club Watcher, we just launched. I'm really excited about it. So thanks for letting me share. Again, find me on YouTube, X, Rumble, IG, all that good stuff. Thanks to Intel. Thanks for having me, bro. It's brother, been a pleasure. It's great to see you.
Dude, such a pleasure. You are a gentleman and a scholar. And I know in a few months, you've got a new little one coming into the world. God's greatest gift, the greatest purpose of life is bringing children into this world and raising them and instilling great values into them. So I know you've been a parent, but you're going to multiply that. So wish you many blessings on that. Thank you for taking the time. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Anytime, brother. Have a good day. Thanks for having me.
You too, brother. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we end the show, this just in, there's a war in Iran. And we are told there is an imminent peace deal. Hopefully that happens. Hopefully someone develops a flux capacitor and takes us back and like we don't even get into this war. Like Iran, probably not the best regime in the world, but you know, Tulsi Gabbard reports like, yeah, all of our intel agencies say they don't have nuclear weapons. So we got to go in and get their nuclear weapons anyway. This rhymes with Iraq and WMDs, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Tulsi Gabbard, she's at least friendlier than Dick Cheney. So, we're at an interesting place. Nutshell, I want to show you something funny in a second. And Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize on this. But first, as I see it, I have seen nothing of substance that suggests a peace deal is more likely this time than the previous iterations we've had a peace deal. You know, the narrative came out, was it beginning of the weekend, end of last week? Hey, peace deal, this is exciting. A little ceasefire going on. Israel breaks that within about 12 minutes, bombs southern Lebanon. The U.S. military does some defensive strikes. It's like, this is some weird looking peace. It's almost like it is, may not happen. And our friends Israel, in the Israeli government, head minister of national security has said, we can't allow this agreement to happen. Makes me skeptical that this agreement's going to happen. But this is fun. I want to pull up link 31. This is conservative commentator Jack Posobiec talking about if Trump gets the peace deal done, he should win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Front was always front and center. And if this president is able to get this deal signed and get this across the board in 60 days, this is the Nobel Peace Prize 2026 material. We've never seen a greater foreign policy deal
in
our lifetimes.
This is the Nobel Peace Prize 2026. If Trump can end a war that he started, he should win the Nobel Peace Prize. Brilliant. Yes, please. I hope he ends it. I wish he didn't start it. I hope he ends it. And if he does, yes, give him the Nobel Peace Prize. Who gives a crap? Give it to him. It makes just as much sense as giving Bill Gates the Nobel Prize in Medicine for inventing a vaccine that treats a virus he also helped invent. Why not also give a Good Samaritan award for someone who rescues a hostage that they kidnapped? Let's give Jack Posobiec the Nobel Prize in Journalism for this hot take. I love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's concluding the show for today. This just in, there are questions about J.D. Vance's run in 2028. Will he be running? My best guess is it's maybe looking a little tainted by this administration. Hot take of the day. With that said, thank you for joining me. Please support the Alex Jones Show at thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you for doing your own critical thinking.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really a lot of, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and, you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not supposed to be, you're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. And we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3 trifecta iodine and ultra methylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.